B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week. It's Monday. On the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic. The NCAA tournament, we'll be talking about that today. And we'll be beginning for, I don't know, I've been doing this for like 20 straight years. It's called the NCAA tournament elitist pool. And that's where I usually only have give you the 8 seeds. I'll give every caller today a team for them to ride for the rest of the tournament. So we'll have prizes. Your team that you ride gets the Final Four. You win prizes. If your team wins the whole thing, you win a bigger prize. And this year, I'm extending it to 10 seeds. Since it was such a wacky year with COVID and the NCAA tournament, I'm going to give there 41 teams that you can get. You can get the 10 seeds in every region and one tag that says field. That's in case Drexel wins with the whole thing. So you'll get that. If it's a team outside the top 10, you'll get that. But before we get to that, there's some issues here. We got to examine these two teams here, and we really have to get to the crux of it because I want to know exactly what you guys want to do here. You got one team that is playing really well despite not having their star players. Now, Ben was back last night, and they romped over San Antonio Spurs. I've never seen a San Antonio Spurs team wave the white flag that early. They just went like this. We're out. They got demolished last night by the Sixers, who are really, listen, I know that they have played a great team, but they're demolishing teams now. The spunk they have on offense is pretty good, which leads me to the question, because I've been hearing it all weekend from people. Don't gut your team. Don't destroy your depth. Don't trade away assets to get Kyle Lowry. All right, if you feel that secure about it, I'm riding with you. Now, again, I always want to go further than what they have now, right? So I don't look at that you're trading away assets. I look at the other thing, which is what makes you better to win. And I definitely think trading some guys and a first-round pick to get Kyle Lowry would make you better suited. The other part you got to put in the equation is now Kevin Durant is going to be out a couple more weeks. And, you know, this is one of those that they were carrying this injury around for a long time. There's a couple things here. Maybe it's worse than they want to admit. And maybe Kevin Durant won't play at all. Maybe he won't be a factor if he plays. Because we're talking about a guy who's been playing a really long time. So the Sixers right now have the edge on the Nets. The way the Sixers are playing, to the point where you don't have to give away the assets. Now, again, I like to cinch the deal. I'm a guy who wants to cinch the deal. So I'm not, like, holding it to chance that the chance that you may be better than the Nets. Now, if I get Lowry, I know I'm better than the Nets. And whether it's Durant or not, I got a better chance. If it's with Durant, I get a better chance with Lowry. Without Durant, I'm going to the finals. So that's the way I look at it right there if I get Kyle Lowry. But it's up to you. Now, the other team is falling off the map. And I didn't expect it. And I don't know what Flyer fans are saying. I'm getting besieged by Flyer fan inquiries and emails. And Flyer fans are literally disgusted right now. They don't hold any hope at all for this team right now. They see a team that's disintegrating here. And a team that maybe the coach isn't reaching anymore. Maybe a team that we overvalue what they had. Instead of saying, you know, we got to cinch the deal. Now, again, they could make a trade and they could help themselves, but you know, they're not impressive by any stretch right now. So we'll talk about that. I mean, I don't know what to feel about the Flyers, man. I just don't know what to feel. They played a game where I thought that Carter Hart would play in the game. I thought it was necessary to get him back in. They played Elliott. He gets beat. They bring Carter back, Hart back. He gets beat. So I don't know. I don't know what's up. Let's start with the Flyers and what you're seeing right now, because people are aggravated.
Yeah, I was optimistic going into the weekend. It has not gone well. They've gotten off to really bad starts. The last three games, they outscored 7-2 in the first period. Then they scramble. Some of this I have to lay at the foot of the coach. Mm-hmm. That means they're coming on the ice not ready to play, either physically, mentally, or whatever, schematically, and then they warm themselves into games. They have a lot of young guys that they're relying on, but they don't have the luxury of time to let these guys grow. I think Friday I said I still think they're going to make the playoffs. Then they follow up with another loss. They got two winnable games against the Rangers starting tonight. Carter Hart will be in net. Now I'm concerned. They're starting games, but the starts are the things that's most, because they're battling, but why are they getting off to these bad starts every game?
Yeah. They're not tight as a team. And, you know, it's funny because the old regime of the Flyers would have fired the coach. You know, even great coaches get fired with this organization in the past. A lab, you like it off to a shaky start. You got to zip right away. The old regime would have fired Vigneault thinking it was, they need a challenge. I don't know what it is with hockey, but hockey teams figure they make a move with the coach. All of a sudden things change around, but he's going to keep his job. And it's just a matter of what you think, how they're playing right now. I'm reading this guy. This guy, Steve, is out of his mind here. He goes, I need something. I'll get off something off my chest. If this front office does not make a move to bolster the blue line by the deadline, I'm completely out on the team. These fans are getting sick of a one good year followed by a bad year trend that this team has made us suffer through for the last decade. I understand that building a foundation and drafting and developing young talent was the main priority over the last decade, but now it's time we start seeing some results. It's not fair to these fans who've invested so much emotionally and monetarily in this team to have to witness this mediocre, inconsistent mess of a product. He's fired up, this guy. Maybe that's overboard, but I mean they're hot and bothered right now, Flyer fans.
Good to be bothered. They should not be okay and be complacent. At the same time, they can't be fatalist either. So I think there's a fine line that the Flyers fans have to walk, and I think this is all new. This is the first bit of adversity for the new era of Flyers fan. Because you have the old era, mm-hmm. then they were bad for a little while, and then they made changes, and now it's the new era. This is like year two of a new era with the mm-hmm. new GM and the new coach and the new owner. Kind of everything's different and fresh. Mr. Snyder obviously no longer with us. This is the first bit of adversity for the new age Flyers fan, and I'm very interested in how they handle it. Do they handle adversity different than the Sixers fan or the Phillies fan? Mm-hmm. I'm very interested. I'm fascinated. Hopefully they turn it around. They beat the Rangers twice. They go and steal one, win one or two from the Islanders, and they turn it around. But I am very interested in how Flyers fans are going to handle this.
All right. Now, regarding the Sixers, folks, I know this is a sliding scale, but I think it's important to know how you feel about this. The Sixers right now, without making a deal, they are what they are. You know exactly what they are. They're getting real good contributions from Thibault off the bench. Maxey, not so much. But Thibault is one of the guys that would be traded in this whole thing. The focus shifts. Now I'm hearing people say, well, I don't want to include Thibault in a deal, right? Before it was Maxey. So I want to know, if all things considering, and you can change your mind later in the week, but for right now, do you believe the Sixers should not eliminate anybody from this team to get somebody else to fortify their run in consideration with what the Nets are going through, and we'll get a big test. Well, we won't get a big test because Embiid won't play on Wednesday. So, right now, you okay with where they are to win the East, or do you still believe they should make a deal and sacrifice some assets? Now, the best news all over the weekend was that Embiid does not have ligament damage. He's got a bone bruise. So he'll be back for that. And I know a lot of people are out there going, oh, here he is again, getting hurt. Come on, man. You got to look at it on the bright side, this one. Their Sixers season was this close to being ended, right? The diagnosis saved the season, basically. So it's a big deal what came out.
Yes, a good thing. Like, there should only be relief in Philadelphia. There are some people out there, once again, that are fatalists that want to look at it like a negative. Hold on. Mm-hmm. This, the amount of time missed, this is like a turned ankle as far as recovery time. Would you accept it a turned ankle? You would. This is, I'm talking about time missed is a turned ankle. You accept it. You're thankful because if he's out, you can't win a title.
Yes.
You can still win a title. So Friday when the game started, you can win a title. Mm-hmm. Friday when the game ended, you didn't know. Now we know as of Monday, you can still win a title. That's damn important. The Thibel thing is interesting though, Mike.
Because
for this reason.
He made a couple threes.
He's making a couple threes. Yeah. His defense has risen even higher. I don't think you would have to include him in a Lowry trade.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did, people would be tied in knots. And I did not expect that. It is taking a turn with him in a way that I did not expect. He has become a super fan favorite in a way that I did not expect this season. He's starting to make shots right at the right time. And I believe we'll find out. Listen to the people.
It's funny. The perspective has totally changed. Now they'd be willing to give up Maxi, but not Thibel. Before it was the other way around.
Yep. You could trade Thibel, but Maxi up there.
He has a mural now.
Exactly. So here's the deal. We're going to talk about all these things. I have this cup here. It has 41 tickets in it. So when you call today, at the end of the call, I'm going to give you a team. And this is the team you're right. You can get a number one seed. You can get a number 10 seed. You can get number two seed. You can get the field. You can get Drexel. Actually, I threw Drexel in there. So it's 42 tags. So you in honor of Drexel, I threw a Drexel tag in there along with the field.
Nice.
That's nice.
So there you go.
Now, final four, Mike. Mm-hmm. People will get, all four of them will get the property of the Fanatic t-shirt.
That's a nice t-shirt. Brand new t-shirt we have.
So all the final four. The winner will get a $100 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken. I know that's your place,
Mike. That's a good spot. It's a good spot. All right, so there you go. And you can have fun just riding the team along the way. You get a new team to root for. Villanova fans, I'm not so sure you're going to be in it that long, to be honest with you. I hate to say it. It's funny because if you looked at this year, you thought they were going to really be involved in the national championship run. It just hasn't worked out for them. And I actually think they could lose their first game. So, that would be a stinger to Nova fans. Getting eliminated in the first game of a tournament. We're not used to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got to hope Jay Wright can pull them together and get one. But them losing will be the popular pick nationwide.
Yeah.
I bet you they get picked more to lose in the first round than any other five
seed. Yeah, they're playing an unknown team that's pretty good every year. They usually just sneak their way into the tournament, Winthrop. And it's not Winthorpe from Trading Places, Winthrop.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And also, because last night, the Durant Grammys were on. Very enjoyable, I thought, Grammys performance. I don't know how many people saw the whole thing, but I thought it was really well done. And in honor of the winner, four winners, we're going to play a winner an hour.
Oh, nice.
Winner an hour. So we come back, we're going to start off with the lady who set a record last night.
Yes.
And that's Beyonce. So we'll let you hear four winners, one each hour on the Mike Misnelli Show, just to pay tribute to some music today. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Fly fans, Taylor Woe. Sixer fans, hold on to Matisse. Don't trade him. We're good enough. We're back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B75 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's a 2 o'clock hour, and the 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC, Lyon, Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is one of Ferguson's county locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Let's start our Twitter poll for today. Paul B. Moyer and Sons brings us to Twitter poll. If you're looking for some outdoor power equipment, thinking about spring, maybe you need some trimming done in the backyard. You need a little chainsaw. Well, they've got all that stuff. They've also got parts and a full service repair shop. For instance, if you have a snowblower, it's on the blink. Get it ready for next year. Get it serviced. Visit them in person at Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
All righty, Mike. Over 300 votes on this one early. The Sixers are playing really well. Are you willing to give up? Are you willing to trade players and assets to try to win now? 69% say yes. 31% say no.
It's a lot of no's.
Well,
31% is a lot.
31% of no. Yeah, I expected actually more. Today.
Yeah, I was surprised that it wasn't.
From the feedback I've been getting, it's like, you know, don't be trading our assets. And I go, all right, you know, they're assets to a point. I can see, like, if you think Thibault's going to turn into more than he is, I hate when people overreact to quick stimulus. Like, he's made a couple threes now. That doesn't mean he's going to continue to make threes. That's the way I look at it.
No, he has raised the percentage. He has. Some of that is he doesn't take a lot of volume. That's part of why the numbers were bad. But then perhaps he doesn't take a lot of volume because he doesn't have a lot of confidence in that shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's the wild card for me. The Maxey at this point, and you know it would still hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But I see what he is right this minute. He's not prepared yet, and it's not his fault. He's a young rookie.
Yeah.
Rookies aren't playing on any of these good teams. They're not really playing rookies. None of the good teams are. He's not ready yet, and you could perhaps use him to get players that could help you. So it's hard. Teams are going to want something.
It's not difficult going not to react if you're a fan, if you see something good. I get it. I mean, we went through Maxey's at 42, and it's like, oh, yeah, he's untouchable. You got to let something play out over a long period of time before you can make a conclusion. Now, Korkmaz is back on the scene now because he made a couple shots against bad teams. And so now that's back.
Yeah, he's
going to say, oh, he's a serviceable player, Mike. You know what you're talking about. And then I hear from every two of every 10, I hear from the people, then it'll be silent for 8 games.
Yeah, he's got the Knicks and the Bucks back-to-back. Will be interesting to see what he does. The Knicks are in the playoff mix this year. The Bucks are obviously only a couple games behind the Sixers. Let's see if he continues to make shots. He's also trying to do more things off the dribble, which is interesting.
Yeah, listen, I'm Al. That's what you think about. If you like him, you like him. I've seen, I don't know, maybe my eyes are lying to me. I've seen in a couple of years of the guy not being able to do it against good teams. You know, the best team he's ever done against, that big game against Portland.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, it's like, come on, what are you seeing? I know you want so bad for this kid. I think they just want to stick it in my ear.
They might.
That's Korkmaz thing.
The one Thibault thing that is interesting, the Sixers now have the second best defense in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is because of Simmons, Thibault, Embiid, and then Howard. There's always a rim protector in the game with Embiid and Howard. And there's always long wings on the floor with Simmons, Thibault, and obviously a lot of times both. It does change your profile a little bit different with Thibault more than a Maxey in the trade. Just because the defensive profile is rounding into shape and the way they're long on the perimeter and have rim protection, most teams don't have that. Both.
I got you.
So that is one thing to take into account. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not, there's three untouchables on the team. Embiid, Simmons, Tobias Harris. To me, to win a title, You have to be willing to do some things, and there's only three players realistically that you cannot move. That doesn't mean I want to move Thibault, and I don't think they would have to if they included the first round picks and the other things. But there's only three untouchable guys at a trade deadline, because you're not going to trade Simmons or Tobias for anything real at a trade deadline. In the offseason, that's different. So there's three untouchable guys. If you don't, and probably due to the family thing, Curry's probably a little bit untouchable. You're probably not going to trade your son-in-law during the season.
Yeah, I mean, these people that have had the rationale, well, I'm not sure Lowry beyond this year. What do you care beyond? Like, this is what the point of making your team good enough to win something is. Yeah, you might have to cross that bridge. But it's not like your organization is going to collapse because Kyle Lowry is not going to be here for a long period of time. Right. You figure out something else. You got to slicken up general manager to figure out something else.
And you still have Simmons and Embiid and Tobias exactly. to build around. They'll still be here. So worst case is you get Lowry. You come up short in the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals. You don't win the title. Mm-hmm. Lowry decides he wants to go to L.A., let's say.
Yeah.
You still have Embiid, Simmons, Tobias Harris, Curry, and then you try to fill out your roster around star players.
And in the meantime, you really gave it another shot.
Right.
You can't complain about something like that.
Right. And all is not lost. If you trade Simmons for an old player or Embiid for an old player mm-hmm. and it fails, that's different. You still have those in their prime assets going forward. And how many teams can say they have three players of that caliber under contract
mm-hmm.
even if they make a blockbuster trade? Hardly any other team could say that.
Exactly. All right. Let's get to our Grammy glory before we get to the phones. One an hour. Four winners. This was the R&B song of the year. Beyonce, Black Parade. Let's see from Lady B.
I'm going back to the South. I'm going back, 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 back. Where my roots ain't watered down. Growing like a bob-bob tree. All life on fertile ground. Ancestor put me on game. Long time on gold chains. With my old shoe in a jail. Drip all on me. I'm good at that she keep free. Hold on, don't I? Stand like Sasha. Not drop by instant. Yeah, pure ice, 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 ice. Bust down. Bloody, 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 bloody. Put my wrist out. Ooh. Going up, bottle in, bottle in. Drip on me.
A little different Beyonce.
Yes.
A different style, Beyonce.
Yeah, that that album, actually, all the proceeds from it mm-hmm. went to a charity that supports black businesses in, I think, wherever. They've given out, like, 250 grants
yeah.
already. And mm-hmm. I think it had to do with the George Floyd protests. Yes. It all kind of, like, coincided together.
Came out last June. You're absolutely right, Natalie. Yeah. And the other part is playing the song. That's why I didn't think it was going to win. It was on a visual album.
Which she's transitioned to, and it's insane.
Yeah, so the song loses a lot, actually, just listening to it,
because
it's a visual thing where they included a lot of people, and they did a very theatrical thing. It was almost like this was supposed to be a play, and then plays weren't allowed to happen.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to almost be done like that, like a traveling circus type of show that couldn't happen, so it turned into a visual album. So I was surprised that it won. But I'm glad that it did.
Yes. And that tied the record.
Yes.
Early in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And she got the 31st a little later with
the
collaboration with the Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes. Yeah,
yep. So that
and
was.
And that'll be up next in the 3 o'clock hour. All right. So let's go to the phone. Start with Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. Had a good weekend. Illinois money line, LSU +3. I wish I had hit Georgetown. I just couldn't pull the trigger. But anyway, I was calling about the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call me a hater because I think they need some defensive help. I've been thinking that for a while. Interestingly, I talked to Jason Bertitas over the weekend, and he thought that the whole thing was domino effect because of losing Niskanen. And I'm not sure he's wrong. I could see that, you know, everybody's playing slightly different spots and, you know, they look rushed. They don't look comfortable. They're not big enough to play a big game. They're not fast enough to play a speed game. And I think they're kind of schizophrenic.
This Niskanen thing is too simplistic to say that because I'm Niskanen. This is where coaching comes in. This is where development comes in. This is where growth comes in. You know, you just can't. Well, they fall apart because they don't have a veteran defenseman like Niskanen. It just doesn't make sense. Like they've got to be coached better. He's not doing a very good job this year, I don't think.
No, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, it's like the guys don't know where they're supposed to be because
they're confused. You're right. They're all confused. They're giving the puck away. They're scrambling around with no tightness.
Yeah, these blind passes make me think that the guy that has the puck is either rushed or there's supposed to be somebody there who's not there.
Yeah, it's not looking good right now, bro.
No, I agree.
All right, man. I hate to see it because you know, there was a lot of hope going in this year for both these teams, but especially the Flyers. And they got derailed in that series, and they just haven't been the same. Bob in New Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Bob?
First off, last Wednesday's show was a great show. When you just talked about how the politics of the last 4 years affected people. I'm not really talking as much with two of my best friends over the entire thing. It's very hard. So it was a great show to listen to. If I'm the Sixers, I'm always reluctant to trade assets when the chances are going to win the title. I like Lowry, don't get me wrong, but he's hurt a lot. He makes a lot of money. And I don't want to give up. I love Thibault.
Why do you care about the money he makes, first of all? Why would you care? That shouldn't even be a factor.
Well, it should be a factor for next year because they might not be able to sign him if he.
Yeah, so, but that's okay. If you're not able to sign him, then I mean, you're trying. You know what's funny? Like when the Phillies added, they got top heavy pitching. Nobody cared about the prospects that they traded, right? How come it's so different now?
Because the pitching that the Phillies got were established pitchers.
Yeah, but you're trying to win something, but Lowry's not established? You cannot make a trade because you're trying to get him for the rest of the year to win something.
And the idea, if we don't win and we give up Thibault and Maxey and somebody else.
So you draft another Thibault and Maxey. Is that hard?
Yes, it is.
Why? They got Thibault in the 20s. They got Maxey in the late teens.
That just shows that unlike we're so used in Philadelphia to have teams who can't draft.
Come on, man. You can't hang the Eagles on the Sixers.
Eagles and the Phillies?
One doesn't carry over to the other. Bob.
I'm saying it's a mindset. That's all. It's just something you get so used to. But you also get used to buying these guys for a year and not working out. And then the next
When has that happened? They bought somebody and it didn't work out. When did that happen to the Sixers?
Not to the Sixers because they haven't done anything in a long
time. Well, we're talking about the Sixers.
But the Sixers, when the Sixers were good, they added small pieces.
Does it make sense that Kyle Lowry would make them better to win something to you?
It does make sense.
Why are you overthinking it?
I'm not overthinking it. There's players out there who are cheaper who won't.
Who's going to give you as much impact as a starting player who's has that many years in the NBA who has been involved on a championship team? Who's going to give you that?
I understand that.
I don't think you do, Bob.
Yes, I do. We don't need that.
All right. So who's the adequate replacement? You don't get a guy like that. You want to add a piece. Who is the guy that makes you that much better?
Somebody like PJ Tucker who can play defense and shoot threes. And you need more defense in the finals, and we have.
You can get them both. You don't have to give away assets to get to PJ Tucker.
I don't think they need both. I think the three stars that they have are more than adequate to carry the team.
Listen, that's the way you feel. That's the way you feel. I am of the mindset that if you are trying to win, and this seems to be wide open. With this Durant situation, if you add Lowry, I believe you become the favorite if Durant doesn't play, and he might not. I don't know. How can you do better than that? You're not going to be the favorite of PJ Tucker. He's going to be a nice player. You're not going to be the favorite over the Nets. Yeah, you're better than the Nets.
See, I don't know what's going on. See, something might need to happen, and I don't want to happen. Do the Sixers have to lose on Wednesday to the Bucks? Because we're only 10 days away from the trade deadline now. It's getting close. So they have to lose to the Bucks on Wednesday. And then fans will say, oh, wait, maybe they can use a little bit more. Like, it's almost because they're coming off a 35-point. They've won three straight by 20-plus. There might be a false sense of security. And I'm not saying the Sixers aren't darn good. And maybe they could win it as is. Maybe. But I don't want to maybe if I can help it. I want to push all in and get a sure thing or as sure a thing as I can get to try to maximize what you have going right now. To me, that makes the most sense.
How, let me ask you this question. Maxey has a decent ceiling, right?
Yes, I think he could be a really good player.
Okay, so how long do you think? 3 years before he gets to that ceiling?
I think
for the ceiling,
3 years. I think next year he actually would be a rotation player.
Okay.
The following year he could take, and then far as the ceiling,
So we're maximizing him 3 years from now, probably.
So
they might be viable still. In three years?
Yeah,
probably. Well, you don't know.
But you never know.
That's the thing. You never know.
Right. And it's not just
happen.
Look what happened with Simmons last year. He had the knee, then he had the back, and then he had the knee.
Exactly.
Look at the Nets. The Nets thought they had a sure thing. Durant hasn't played, and he's not going to play for more than a month.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what's going to happen to Thibault. I see him as a piece. I don't see him as a star. I think he'll be a valuable piece off the bench. You can do a lot of things with him. But if somebody says to me, like, maximize the talent you have now and you can actually win something this year, because there's no team that you look at in the West and go, oh, we can't play with them. Right? You can play with those teams.
You can play with
the
Lakers, you can play with the Clippers, and you can play, you've seen them play with the Jazz. You saw it.
Yes.
You saw it.
So I don't know. It's just me. I think, if you lose Maxey Thibault, okay, I understand you like him. They could be something. But I got to take the chance that this other guy makes me better to win something. And if it doesn't and I lose those guys, I'll try to find another Thibault Maxey. It's not impossible to find another Thibault and Maxey in this day and age.
I do think finding another Thibault is tougher than finding another Maxey.
Because of the defensive-oriented player.
I don't know his defensive skills...
I totally understand that.
But your point remains. Again, I said it. As much as I would hate it, they have three untouchable players. Add to those guys and see if you can win the whole thing. They have three untouchable. There are only three guys where I say no way. Talk to me about what I'm getting back, and that'll tell you what I give up. I'm not trading Thibault for nothing, though. You're talking about getting a guy who has a ring and who can help. Like, you're not going to get a scrub. You're trading him for a star player.
Larry's not really doing much for people in this town, which is interesting to me. But, And maybe I'm getting overly greedy, but I just like opportunities to win don't come around that often. You know, you can't keep counting on, well, we're growing. Come on, man. I mean, things are ripe. All right, let's go to Chris in Yardley. Chris, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Chris.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Chris?
Agree with Ty there. Three that are untouchable, absolutely. Tobias, Ben, and JoJo. But here are the three that I would keep. To me, everyone else is tradable. Because you know Darryl's going to do something.
That's just I would think he would. I mean, listen, maybe he's on hold with this Durant thing. Maybe he's gone, I don't have to get rid of these guys, and we can just let this ride. I don't know what he's thinking.
Well, if he goes that way, fine. But here are the three that I would keep. I'm going to give upfront kudos to Ty for last year. Shake is doing it offensively. I would keep him. I would keep Matisse defensively, scary as hell, pardon my French. And lastly, Dwight. They're the other three I would want to keep. That leaves Seth, Danny, Corky, please.
Well, you're not going to get Kyle Lowry for that.
Well,
you're going to throw in a young, promising player to get Kyle Lowry. You're not going to take crap for him.
Well, Seth, Danny, Maxey.
You're getting crap. What are you talking about?
Okay, that's all crap. All right.
They're getting two contracts that have to expire. They're getting a draft pick that's not going to be good. What? And you're throwing Maxey in there?
So it has to be Matisse or Shake?
I would think. Yeah.
Okay, that's tough then.
They say Korkmaz?
I know.
You want to peddle crumbs.
Oh, I know. Well, so I don't want to get rid of Shake or Matisse. Offense, defense, they've been monsters.
They're not going to get rid of Shake. I mean, that's probably not in the deal.
Well, defensively, one quick last point, Mike.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe if they asked me, all right, you can keep Thibault or Shake. Yeah, I think I would keep Thibault. I think that maybe I would be more willing to get rid of Shake, I think.
All right, Matt.
Listen, I got to give you a team here.
Okay.
All right. So this is the, I forgot to give our first candidate team. So this is the elitist pool. Now you're going to ride this team throughout the NCAA tournament. All right. Now I have selected for you the number one seed.
No.
In the West, in the East quadrant, Michigan.
Okay.
Michigan, Chris. I had to shoot.
I can't complain.
All right, buddy. You can't complain. That is a potential championship team there, Michigan. Chris and Yardley gets a number one seed out of the shoot.
Yeah, now you're writing it. I'm writing it, but you're writing it on the back of the slip.
Right on the tag, yeah.
Like you always. No, I was just making sure.
Yeah.
All right.
And Natalie, because we keep track, and then it's easy after the first couple rounds, because unfortunately some of these teams are going to get lose early.
Yeah, exactly. Get eliminated right away. Well, 4-2 it is balanced for him. Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan still has a shot. And good coaching staff, good team. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
They got a shot.
All right. Let's take a break. We have one open line, 610-622-0975. Again, the team you ride, you get to the Final Four. You get the Property of Fanatic t-shirt, brand new, just hot off the presses, not available to the general public. And also a $100 gift card if you win the whole thing to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken, which is a good spot. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
46, Mike Missinelli Show. All right, so the Eagles are busy with the cap and reorganizing contracts, and they just did one with Brandon Graham. So they lengthen the term for Brandon and alleviate their little cap space. So that's good, keeping Brandon Graham around.
Yeah, it basically goes from 1 year, 13 million. He's still a productive player, which is important, and basically goes to 2 years, 20 million. So that helps. You know, keeps them here extra year and also lowers the cap number. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Smart move by Howard.
Yeah, they're working hard at it.
Yeah. The question is now, some team like the Patriots are going all in on free agents today. Usually this is a big day at the station. But we knew the Eagles can't. So it's not a big deal.
Usually
you have extra staff around, scouring the internet with stuff. But today it's like they're still trying to get under the cap, and then anybody they get's going to be like a low cost upside type of guy, not a star.
I played golf on Saturday, and I was around a lot of Eagles season ticket holders who were absolutely disgusted.
Wait, because of the invoice thing, or just in general?
All of that.
They have to pay for this product and the whole bid. And the one guy's, I'm not even. I'm selling every ticket I have this year.
You know what? That's going to be a thing where the building's full, but the season ticket guys, they stub hubbed it.
Yeah.
And it's different guys going to game one, different guy going to game three. So, yeah, I buy that.
They're just totally out of it. There was no enthuse.
Yeah, and now, I printed out a mock draft, we'll get to it later. If that happens, what this particular mock draft from The Athletic today happens, there'll be no enthusiasm.
We won't get to
there'll
that.
There'll really be no enthusiasm.
We will get to that in a second. Let's go to Christian at Rutgers. How about the Scarlet Knights in the tournament?
Scarlet Knights in the building.
There you go, Christian.
Happy about that. I called in. I wanted to talk about the Sixers, though. And I think that they should really stand pat when it comes to, you know, the trade deadline. You know, but I think, and there's, like, so many reasons for that. Like, they've proven that that starting unit that they have is real cohesive. And, you know, they were at one point, I think, 13-0. Or whatever.
They proved that in the playoffs yet?
No, not yet. No, I got you.
Okay. I'm just wondering, you know, because you're going to need some playoff strength off the bench.
Yeah, that's true. But to get, you know, Kyle Lowry, I mean, you have to, you also, he's not somebody I think that moves the needle enough to get rid of some starters, I guess Danny Green because of his salary, and then two or three other players from your bench. That kind of player is maybe like a Bradley Beal or a Zach LaVine. You know, like I'm looking at Lowry's numbers.
You're not getting those type of players. So you're saying it's because you're not getting those type of players, Lowry's not enough, so you stand pat. Now, I'll just ask you a mini question here, though. You seem like you know ball, right? Do you think the Sixers would be a better team if Kyle Lowry was on it and minus those other players?
This season?
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're going to be where they're going to be.
Really? So you don't think Kyle Lowry would improve their chances?
Not at all. Not against the Nets. I think they're more suited to stand pat and look at the buyout market. I mean, you got people like, I don't know, maybe Aldridge, maybe LaMarcus Aldridge. And I've been doing a smaller trade, like getting a P.J. Tucker is going to take you further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, Aldridge is going to get traded. He's not going to be left for
it. He's definitely going to get traded? Okay.
Yes. They're moving.
Next season, you'll have the option. You can get Kyle Lowry on the cheap. You know, so, like, we don't have to be really all in.
Well, you won't need Kyle Lowry next year on the cheap. It doesn't really matter. Like, don't you want to win this year?
Yeah, but like you guys said, you know, the window is there. You know what I mean?
The window is there. Are you convinced of that? The window right now is there for them to win the whole thing. The way they are right now.
Is a maybe like a 2 or 3 year window right now.
No, forget 2-3 year window. I don't want no 2-3 year window. Enough with the 2-3 year window. What are we talking about here?
I remember something you said a few years ago that you were thinking that 2020, I think, would be...
Yes, that's what I said. That's why I don't have any patience for a 2-3 year window. Enough of that noise.
Well, the thing is, I disagree with you. I think 2-3 year window does matter, but that means you have 3 chances to go all in. It doesn't mean you don't go all in because you have the window. What I'm saying is you go all in this year. And then if it doesn't work out, you find a way to go all in again the following year. And then if it does, it's 3 different chances to go all in.
I find it fascinating when my man says that Kyle Lowry doesn't improve their chances.
Now, those people,
I think that's really interesting.
But that's a good reason not to do the trade. It's more of a legit reason than to say, oh, I love Maxey, or oh, I love Thibault, or I love Shake, or whatever. And I love all those guys, actually. But the legit reason would be, I don't think Lowry makes you good enough. If you truly believe that, then you don't make the trade. Like, if you're sitting there as the GM or the president of the organization and you don't think Lowry improves you enough, then you don't make that trade. You don't make it to not be good enough.
I get that. I can't imagine that. Listen, I can't say that getting Kyle Lowry makes them win the title. I can say that getting Kyle Lowry makes them better to win the title. I can say that.
Right, but how much better? You do have to quantify that before you make a trade. You do have to quantify that. Like, does he make them, how many, in a 7-game series.
Does he make them better to win the title?
If the trade is Maxey, Danny Green, and 2 ones, like has been out there, with that trade, he could be the difference.
Uh-huh. So now you're thibbled up.
It's not that I'm thibbled up. It's not really thibbled up. It's about just the, if you minus Danny Green and him, I do think you then lack a little bit at the wing.
Okay.
Now, you may have to make, but that I also don't know what the other secondary move would be. Just because you move them doesn't mean that there would not be another wing available that you could also grab. Like, if you're grabbing P.J. Tucker, and with Simmons' defensive versatility, that's a little bit different. But I'm trying to take each deal in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Both wings does make them, because then, go ahead, lay out the roster would then be Lowry.
Yeah, listen, I understand, and I may be shortchanging the roster.
Yeah, Lowry, Curry.
They do need players to fill it in.
Simmons, Tobias, and Embiid, your starters, and then off the bench, it's obviously Shake, Dwight, and then who's that eighth man at that point?
It's a good question. I'm looking at Lowry as this. He's playoff tough. He's a guy you can definitely count on. You don't have to worry about it at all. He's going to make a 3-point shot that's going to break the other team's heart when you need it. He's going to make a great pass when you need it.
Take a charge.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's going to be there for you.
I agree with you. I was just looking at the roster. You do need, it's not so much to me, and I love Thibault, it's that if you move two wings, this team is not equipped to have an extra wing on the ready. So you would have to make a secondary move because you'd be light at the wing position.
Oh, yeah.
That's more what I'm looking at.
All right, let's take a break. We're rolling into the 3 o'clock hour here on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3 o'clock hour. First of all, I want to apologize to all the people on 2 o'clock hour that I didn't give an NCAA tournament team. I'm forgetting about our own contest.
Well,
and so here it is right here. Yeah, some of the people extended.
Yeah, they've been into a
deeper, I couldn't keep them on for that much longer.
Yeah.
But I promise that everybody who calls at this particular hour will get an NCAA tournament team to ride for the rest of the tournament. And if your team makes it to Final Four, you get a nice prize. And if your team wins the whole thing, you get a $100 gift card.
From Jasper's Backyard.
From Jasper's Backyard. So far, I gave out the number one seed in the tournament. Chris and Yardley got Michigan. All right, so let's go. The 2 o'clock hour, 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. We're a famous tomato pie. Oogie party trays, every bit is good. Let's go, Kenneth in Bensalem. What's up, Kenneth?
Hi, Mike. Matt, hi, on. How you doing?
Hello, Kenneth.
Just calling to touch upon the passing of one of the best middleweight boxers to ever put on gloves and marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Absolutely.
I'm originally from Cape Cod, and he actually used to train in Provincetown, Massachusetts, in Cape Cod, because he lived in Brockton.
Yeah, he used to like to run the sand.
Oh, the guy, my dad took me when I was a kid. I'm 43 now. And just watching him just effortlessly just destroy everything was just incredible in his training. I just couldn't believe him passing away at such a young age.
I know. It kind of caught everybody by surprise.
Right.
He said he passed away unexpectedly. There weren't any more details on that.
Right.
Well, you know, listen, were you fortunate enough to see the Hearns, Hagler fight?
It was
ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah,
my dad, whenever he fought, we watched.
Yeah.
No, my father was obsessed with him. My dad was a pretty good
You know, it's funny. He made his bones early on in his career by Philadelphia had these middleweights. And
right.
he went through them early in his career. I mean, with the guy that was, Willie DeWorm Monroe was one of them. Benny Briscoe, I think, was another. There was a thriving Philadelphia fighting scene at that time, and
he
took those guys down. Tyrone Cyclone Hart, and he took those guys down early in his career to make his bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what boxing was boxing, you know.
He was something special, man. He was tough.
He really was. I actually called my mom yesterday because I know she was a fan, and she said, you know, your Aunt Sheila dated him. I was like, are you kidding me? And apparently, I lived in Harwich, Massachusetts when I was a kid, and we went to my Aunt Caroline's house. She would have cookouts like every week. You know, she liked to hit the bottle. And he actually showed up to the cookout.
Get out.
That's what my mom.
Yeah, I remember he was trained by those two Italian guys, brothers.
Yeah.
The Petronellis or whatever their names were. Yep.
Yep. And apparently he stopped by for like an hour. And the funny thing was is that, according to my mother, my aunt wasn't impressed by him, and they never went out on another date.
Yeah, wow, how about that? He's got an interesting story because he lost to Leonard, obviously, and never gave in that he lost that fight. And he tied Vito Antifermo.
Yeah.
And in the Boston Garden, I believe it was a tie, or maybe it was somewhere else. He fought him a couple times, I think.
Yeah.
But Vito Antifermo is in the movie Goodfellas.
Is it?
Yes.
Get out.
Yeah, it's the scene. Yeah, let me give you a team first. I'll explain who he is in Goodfellas. All right, here's your NCAA tournament team. It is Baylor. What? You got Baylor, number one seed.
Yeah.
The hell is going on here? I'm putting out two number one seeds. It's ridiculous.
Well, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. I don't think they're hanging in there as the number one seed, but Kenneth Bensalem gets the number.
You have to shake up the cup
what
again.
What the hell? That's ridiculous.
He's swirling around?
I did swirl around.
No, like, you shook it up before the show and everything.
I mixed it all up. All right, well.
Well, we got some big news, Mike.
Yes.
It's not quite breaking news.
But no, it's
news.
It's big news. So, Jalen Mills to the Patriots on a 4-year, $24 million
deal. Jalen Mills to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, last time they got a bad defensive back here,
back
up New England. Yeah, he did play well. So, you know, that turns Jalen Mills' career around.
I also don't think he's a bad player.
Yeah.
He's not a bad player.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a loss.
I think it's a pretty big loss. Well, no, they were going to pay him $4 million, $24 million, like that, and it's $9 million guarantee. They weren't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another position they have to fill because he was your starting safety last year and he had played corner. Who are the starting safeties now?
Well, who cares?
Well, I care who it is.
Who the starting safeties are. Like, I don't get lost. Like, it doesn't matter. They have Jalen Mills on this team.
He's on the Super Bowl squad.
I get it. They stink.
It matters.
Right? Nah,
it does
win
matter.
Team.
It does matter.
All right, so Vito Anafermo was champ for a while.
Yeah.
Well, Hanga lost twice, right?
He lost early, it was robbery. It was robberies, though, early in his career. Then he didn't lose again until he lost to Leonard, and then that was it. He never fought again.
All right, so Vito Anafermo, where they go into the Copa for the first time, and they put the table down
mm-hmm.
for Henry and Karen.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, that's what she had, what do you do?
And
she's looking at his hands.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
And Vito Anafermo, he goes, hey, Vito. And
she's like,
Vito Anafermo.
That's pretty good.
All right, so when did he beat these Philly fighters? Because they were all, all right, so Bobby Boogaloo Watts, he beat 70. That fight was it was at the Spectrum. He beat Bobby Boogaloo Watts. No, he lost to Bobby Boogaloo Watts. Bobby Boogaloo Watts beat him at the Spectrum.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, he didn't lose any of those fights. He was getting robbed because he was with the wrong team. He stayed with those same promoters the whole time. Most people jump to the Don Kings or the Arams. He never did. He stayed with those original Boston promoters, and he kept getting jobs early in his career. He jobbed a lot.
So then, that was in January, he lost to Bobby Boogaloo Watts. He comes back to the Spectrum in March.
Didn't have a choice.
And beats Willie the Worm Monroe at the Spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Fighting, he was a fighter. Like back in a time when you had to fight, and he didn't have the right connection, so he had to fight his way through it.
All right. And then he comes back in September to the Spectrum and beats Eugene Cyclone Hart.
There it is.
And Andrew started making his bones.
Took off. Now, you know the Hearns fight, that style of fight only happened by accident. They did a documentary, that Legendary Nights on HBO.
Yeah.
So before the fight, the plan was stick and move from Hearns because he was tall.
Uh-huh.
And move around and see if in the later rounds he could try to catch him late. They were massaging Tommy Hearns' legs before it. That weakens your legs before a fight. Emmanuel Stewart comes in and starts yelling at everybody, says, sorry, Tommy, you're going to have to get him early. So now that turned it into a legendary fight because he knew Tommy Hearns wasn't going to have the legs to last because some idiot in the camp from out of Detroit from Kronk was giving him a massage when he wasn't supposed to. He said, all right, champ, never mind. You got to try to get him early. He clipped him early and cut Tommy Hearns early in that fight.
Yeah.
But Tommy was too tough. But Marvin was too tough. But that all happened. That style of fight happened completely by accident because some moron decided to give Tommy Hearns a massage on his leg before the fight when you're supposed to do that to relax after the fight. Threw the whole plan off, and then you end up with one of the most legendary fights of all time.
I didn't know that. But Hagler wins the middleweight title in Philadelphia. August, I need to find somebody who was at that fight. Spectrum comes back. Willie Monroe, a rematch. After Willie had defeated him, He takes out Willie Monroe with a TKO in his second round at the Spectrum to win the title.
On that documentary, he said that I'm not going to let him do it to me again on the cards. So that's where he had the chance. He wanted to be a boxer at one point, Marvin Hagler. He had to become, because he was losing these decisions and getting split decisions, no more of that. He had to become a knockout fighter. And hence what happened, because he said, if it goes to the cards, they're going to screw me, so I got to knock guys out.
Now, that wasn't done. His Philadelphia experience was not done. Because then he gets to Benny Briscoe, who I believe was a sanitation worker in Philadelphia.
That sounds familiar.
Full-time job as a sanitation worker. Benny Briscoe, tougher than tough, fights Hagler at the Spectrum again in 1978. Benny takes him the whole 10 rounds, unanimous decision.
Yes, that was a non-title affair.
It was?
Yeah, that's why it was only 10 rounds. Okay. Yeah, that was what the other boxers back in the day used to do. They used to take other fights when they were champions, non-title fights, to stay active. They don't really do that much anymore in the modern era.
All right, and that was the end. Benny Briscoe, I remember as a kid, I'm around here. There were always stories about Benny Briscoe. He was like, I don't know whether he fought for a championship or not, but he was always like the highest rated fighter, Benny Briscoe.
He's a contender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Ty on a cell. Ty, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ty.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Ty? How you doing?
All right, man. Listen, I was a little early. I just waited just for this reason. Whoever was talking about not getting Kyle Lowry does not know basketball.
Well, you know what? Here's the other thing. It's out of sight, out of mind for Kyle Lowry right now. Like, he's not playing, so people are like, we don't need him. He's not really doing anything. So, like, people don't know what they're getting.
The only thing I got in question, though, is how can we pull it off financially? With those guys we talking about, Fireballs, Big Mill, none of those guys add up with Danny Green.
Two of them do. You got Danny Green and Mike Scott will have to go in the deal.
$20 million, but Kyle Lowry is 30. You got to come within a certain percent. You got to get to $27
million. Yeah, the draft picks that they'll give away can for a certain amount. It is those two guys would have to go, but it is doable.
It is doable.
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, I'm looking at it. Look like we might have to give up somebody like Seth Curry.
No, they won't.
You don't think so?
No.
I think at the end of the day, man, we got a good chance. I just think, this is a town that don't have a lot of patience. And, good luck to hopefully if that injury to Embiid don't cause us no problem. But I just want to throw you a quick bit before you give me a team. I called you about in the beginning of this year, and I told you, you might not remember me, and I'm not blasting you for not saying nothing, but I told everybody, why were we so hyped on Carson Wentz, a second-round pick? And then everybody, I was saying, you got these high expectations.
Why were you so high on Carson? You're telling me this after the fact?
No, when I called in, I was saying get rid of Carson Wentz, and everybody was saying you got to give him a chance. And I was saying he's a second-round pick. Why we have these high expectations on the guy? He's a bum. And look.
He was the second overall pick.
Not second. I mean, the Division II pick. I mean, that's what I meant. Division II. He never played Clemson, Alabama. Yeah. I would hate
it. Was division, it was Division 1A. It was FCS. It wasn't Division 2.
Trey Lance ain't ready for the NFL.
You don't know that.
Well, that's just my opinion.
Oh, I get it. All right, man, let me give you a team. All right, here we go. The team is, you get a 4 seed. Oklahoma State.
Okay, with
4 seed.
Kate Cunningham, right?
Yes, that's correct. All right, Ty on a cell gets Oklahoma State.
Man, I hope they get upset.
Ride that. You didn't like that call, did you?
Man, I'm just tired of the people. I told y'all.
The FCS quarterback.
He couldn't play. And now, even though I've never seen Lance ever throw a single pass, I know he stinks. Like, if you don't stop with your guessing.
Yeah.
Like, you guessed. Like, you didn't know. You don't have football knowledge.
No, and the fact of the matter is he did perform in the NFL. So that FCS didn't get in the way of him throwing for 4,000 yards a couple times in his career.
Right. You don't worry about that kind of stuff. You evaluate the player. They took the player, and the Eagles messed it up.
Yes.
So, and that's why everybody else is spending money today, and we're just looking at the Eagles. We're looking for news. We get nothing. We got nothing so far.
All right. So, it's that time again where we honor the Grammys. And so yesterday, last night, very, very good production. I love the way they did it. I think they can pull that off almost every year, the way they did it with the outside the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm. And, so good.
And the
studio
looks great.
Produced you know, stuff. And Trevor Noah, he was all right.
I thought he was okay, too.
Yeah,
he kind of fell flat for me.
He got a little too corny, I thought.
Yeah,
he got a little corny and, you know, like, tried to throw a quip in at the end.
Right, I don't know if he, like, connected with the content.
Yeah, he tried to.
Right.
He tried to, you know.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time the fact that he's from South Africa showed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he connected to everything in a little bit of a different way because he's not from here.
Right.
Usually it doesn't, it's seamless. It was not seamless last night.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, all right. So the second one we're going to do is, so which one did we do? The a new artist of the year? Is that what that was?
The first one was R&B. Yeah, yeah, this one.
New artist of the year.
Was a new artist. New so that was Meg Thee Stallion.
Meg Thee Stallion, yeah.
Now, the songs that she has are particular, so I had to go with the clean version. So this is a, if you're not a child, find the real version, because what's about to be played is not how it usually sounds.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so here it is.
I'm a, been a, still that, will forever be that, forever be that. I'm the hood Mona Lisa, break a in the pieces, had to egg some cheesy by my circle like a pizza. I'm way too exclusive, I don't shop on Insta boutiques, all the little clothes only fit fake, bad, bad, real like water, I'm a mother and relaxing. I would never trip on a if I had him. That's my trash, you the made for your back. I'm a savage, classy, bougie, ratchet, sassy, moody, nasty, hacking, stupid, what was happening? What was happening? I'm a savage, classy, bougie, ratchet, sassy, moody, nasty, hacking, stupid, what was happening? What's happening? And recorded, but your edge up all I'm showing. I keep my private, so it's AP all I'm showing. Beeping with you, really getting kind of boring. If it ain't about the money, then you know I'm gonna ignore it.
All right, there she is, Meg Thee Stallion. There's a lot of middle-aged white dudes going, what?
Yeah, now.
In the listening audience.
Yeah, so the song, well, the real version's better.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You got to be very careful.
Yeah.
On now, these airwaves.
She did a song. What song did she do last night? That wasn't the song she did last night, was it?
No.
Did she do a song last night?
No, her and Cardi did.
Cardi B.
They did the clean version of WAP.
But I couldn't even play.
That was a great performance.
It was a great performance, but even the clean version of that, is too for me to play.
Okay.
So I had to play her.
Okay.
That is actually, Savage is actually her biggest song.
Yeah, Savage, that's right. Savage.
So that's why.
They did Savage last night.
They did, and then there's a version, the version that won for song was the one with Beyonce, the remix.
Okay.
But she won Best New Artist.
She won Best New Artist. So we've been Best R&B, Best New Artist. I wasn't going to throw country in there, but we only have 4 hours. So we do this once an hour. So the country song of the year, was that Miranda Lambert? Who got the country song?
I missed that because there was no need for me to really pay attention to that.
Yeah, I think it was her.
Miranda Lambert was a little risque last night, Natalie.
Was she? No, I must have missed hers, too. I was flipping back and forth with a bunch of stuff. Yeah, she won.
Rather risque.
She's a little bit different with husband number two than she was
husband number two?
I forget his name. Because she was with the Gwen
with
Stefani.
Blake.
With Blake Shelton.
Yeah. Oh,
they got divorced.
Blake's done all right for himself.
Brandon McLaughlin. is her new husband.
Yeah, Blake coming up big. Yeah, she was hanging out last night.
Yeah.
Very risque dress.
Yeah, she used to be, she shed that that all-American girl image to be a little bit more risque. Sometimes like the women say that divorce can be freeing.
You know,
I don't know.
Who's the black country singer? Lady. You didn't catch her tie?
No.
She's on fire right now to go. What's her name? She was good. She had a great voice. I was digging it.
No, I don't know who it is.
What was her
name? Oh, Mickey Guyton?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mickey Guyton.
Yeah.
On the scene.
No, I missed hers too.
Because I had the Sixers, and I go back and watch it.
Yeah, Mickey Guyton.
Not in.
She has a great voice.
Well, I mean, the country artists are really good artists. It's just, you know, they're great artists.
Yeah, yes, they are. All right, we have a couple open lines. Again, this is your chance to ride a team for the whole tournament. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spill them out and then mix them up like playing cards.
There you go.
So there you go. So they get all scattered. And you get this team, and you ride it for the rest of the tournament. So there are 42 teams. The top 10 seeds, that's why it's called the elitist pool. The top 10 seeds in every region, plus the field, plus Drexel. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, put on your seatbelts because Nats news is coming your way after we take care of our Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie. Hello, Nat.
Hello, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,000 votes on it so far. The Sixers are playing really well. Are you willing to trade young players and assets to try to win now? 65% say yes, 35% say no, so it went up a little. The news.
65 say yes and 35 say no. That's not the feedback I'm getting. There's so many people that are against adding Kyle Lowry. It's not even funny right now, at least on social media, my social media.
Well, that's for 35% significant.
That means
you could be hearing from 300 people out of
1,000. Yeah, so I'm surprised it's 65 to 35, though. But based on that tone, I would think that people are against trading Kyle Lowry because they think this team is good enough. But we'll see. We'll continue that discussion. Right now, it is time for Nats News. We do it every day at 3:30. Natalie Agonoff scours the globe to find the most interesting stories to present to you and to us. Nat, what's today's Nat News?
That's right. All right. So we go to some dating, faux pas, if you will. This woman slams a cheap date for buying her only water. So the woman took to Twitter to call out a man who took her on a date and for not splashing the cash on an expensive drink to go with her meal, but she wasn't expecting for him to see what she said. She headed out for a meal with a guy who, instead of ordering cocktails or a bottle of bubbly, opted for the safer, more budget-friendly option of ice water. So, but he apparently saw what she said. So she wrote on Twitter, "You know he's broke when he buys you water." And then he saw it and he commented back and he said, you know, you're broke when you're complaining that he's buying you water. So it kind of has people torn on whether or not it's okay to buy water for first date.
Hold on a second. I'm not getting this right. So he didn't buy her a cocktail.
No.
But he paid for the meal.
Yes.
Paid for the meal.
It was like a burger and fries.
All right, so a casual meal.
They were in a restaurant?
Yes.
All right, so the waiter, they were waited on?
Yeah.
Okay, so the waiter comes over and says, "Would you like a cocktail?" Did he say, "No, I need more information on this"?
It didn't say what the option was. Maybe he ordered for her?
I'm wondering if he ordered water for, we don't know, he could be a former alcoholic. There could be a bunch of reasons why he might have just wanted water or whatever. And then if she ordered water out of peer pressure, that's not him being cheap. Now, if he just ordered water for her, rather than saying, "Hey, what would you like?" then he is cheap.
Yeah. I need more information on this because they go, would you like bottle or tap? Right?
Yeah, no, so it says...
Not in like a regular burger joint. You just get what you get.
Okay, so wait a minute. I'm confused on this. He just bought her water.
Yeah. So they headed out for a meal. It says that instead of ordering cocktails, he opted for ice water. So maybe they gave him the option and then he just said, "Oh no, we'll just take water."
Okay.
And then he slammed back and said, you know you're broke when you depend on else depend on someone else to pay for your meal.
Well, but he took her out. Yeah. He asked her out.
Yeah.
She didn't ask him out.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Very complicated.
Yeah, I just need more information on that before I rip the guy.
Yeah, because if she could have ordered and chose not to, that's on her, not him.
Yeah.
No, they didn't really give much more detail.
Yeah, if he said, I'm not going to buy you a cocktail, or like I need more information on that. So it's not, I can't necessarily call him cheap unless I know he turned down the offer of a drink and he turned down the offer of bottled water. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I don't know. People were saying what's wrong with water, but I just didn't know. Do you think that that's out of line?
No. It goes with, like, if somebody comes out, would you like bottle or tap? You would always say, what do you prefer? I mean, if you're a guy, you go, what would you prefer? If she wants bottled water, get bottled water and pay for it.
Yeah. I don't
know. That's a choice for the lady to make.
It seems like if they were at the burger place, maybe he went up to order for them. He said, I'll go up and order for us. That's what I'm thinking. Oh, yeah, it doesn't really dive into how it went down, but
She's still real nasty for tweeting about it afterwards.
Like, and he expected her not to see it.
Right, like, that's real. She's real. First of all, she should be alone. Because that's still super corny to put it public like that, either way.
He wouldn't even buy her, like, a Coke or something? It was a burger joint? Would you like a Diet Coke? Or brought back water? I need more information on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I had so far. Okay. So then, a Pennsylvania woman has been charged with deep fake plot against her daughter's cheerleading rivals. So she's accused of manipulating photos of three girls to make it appear they were drinking, smoking, and even nude.
Come on.
So the deep fake apparently is this new picture thing where you can manipulate people's photos. And this mom did it in an attempt to get them kicked off the cheerleading squad. So she's from Bucks County, and they're charging her with cyber harassment and of a child and related offenses.
Yeah, I saw that story.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's in
Chalfont.
Yeah, it's in Chalfont. Okay. Well, seriously.
Why are people so insane?
It's like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
That whole story. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You'd be embarrassed your kid. You know, it's going to be found out.
Right.
Yep, the only bad thing about youth sports are the parents.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, how out of line is that? How insane are you that you're trying to get three little girls kicked off of a cheerleading squad and you're going to go to, like, that measure?
Even if those girls, like, bully their daughter, and I'm not saying it's okay to bully. It's not okay to bully. But even if they did, these are certain skills that your daughter will learn through her life that are tough because I know Natalie had to go through some stuff growing up. You've talked about it, Natalie.
Absolutely.
There are certain skills that you acquire by having to go through locker room dynamics and stuff like that. And we don't even know if the girls did bully her daughter. They just might be the head cheerleader, and she wants her daughter to be head cheerleader, which would be even sicker. So I'm trying to give the mom halfway a benefit of the doubt in her nut jobness. Maybe she was trying to be helpful in some way, but it's still crazy to do.
It's so crazy, and you're right. It does sound like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, it's wild. It really does.
All right, and let's finish out today with story number three. There is a woman who is in love with a roller coaster in Germany, and she claims that they have children. Gail Engel, she's actually from France, says she shares kids with the theme park attraction. She's been sexually attracted to objects since her teens, and as an adult, she's become fascinated with roller coasters. So when she was 38, she found herself developing a strong romantic bond with a German ride. She became fixated on the Skyscream roller coaster at Holiday Park in the state's country southwest. Her attraction to it is so strong that she believes it's true love. She said, quote, "You can say that I'm sexually drawn to roller coasters, but since I met the Skyscream roller coaster, I understood what love was." So when it comes to dating humans, she hasn't had much luck. Although she has had three relationships in the past.
I've got nothing on this. Seriously, this is like the world. I mean, you remember the grocery store used to have the worldwide news?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they would have the woman has child with vending machine.
Yeah.
You know, it was always an alien head on the
corner. Yeah. Right. Well, no, she admits that she knows she can't have any sort of like sexual relationship with them. So she collects objects and creates objects to represent their bond.
You know what? I know this is crazy, but I don't think this is that far-fetched.
She said she sees him so infrequently, so that's why the objects that she creates as an ode to this roller coaster kind of fulfill that need in her own.
Those endorphins during the ride does something for her. I know guys who I think literally are like attracted to a certain bar. I'm serious. Like, yeah. I've had to bet. I think that they're like attracted to the bar in that way. They like this particular bar that much. So I don't think that this is like something that's as rare as we think. It's just some people obviously don't feel like admitting in polite company.
Well, bar, it's one thing. You go in and you get comfortable. What is this about? You fall in love with a roller coaster?
Man, a roller coaster is a lot of fun, man, for those 2 minutes.
Yeah, so
a lot of endorphins are released on a roller coaster.
She generally likes roller coasters, but this one in particular, the Sky Scream.
Good for her.
Really, that's the one she decided to have quote-unquote children with.
Oh, that's good for her. This scream is important. All right, so back on this dating thing. Now, let me ask you this question. It's related. So if you take a woman out, you ask her on a date, and she likes wine. She says, and you say to her, do you like wine? And she says, yes, I love a bottle of wine. Now, what is the price range that the man should be looking at?
Well, you got to look at your real life budget now.
Right.
Because, a bottle of wine is not a glass of wine.
Yeah. You're trying to impress her now.
Yeah, but even if I'm trying to impress her, I also still have to pay the mortgage.
Well, it also depends on where you're at.
Just asking, what's the range? Here's the deal. Well, if you see a $30 bottle of wine on a menu, it's probably less than $10.
Okay.
And so, like, the price point is going to be at least a 50% markup.
Right. See, this is the tough part. The average, in America, the average bottle of wine for the average person, is $9.99. Majority of people drink, I'm not saying the people that know wine, drink $9.99. That's why it's when new wines come out at a certain, there's a reason they're at that point, because people want to spend that. So I think you go up to $50.
Okay, so you're buying like a $20 bottle of wine.
Yeah. Right, which is twice as good as most people, majority of people drink.
Okay, I got that. Here's the thing, though. A woman may look at and remember the label and find out how much it really costs. You want that?
I'm not. Listen, if she's doing that.
First date, you got to bite the bullet, I believe.
I got to pay my mortgage. I'm not buying you a $100 bottle of wine plus the whole meal and stuff money.
First date, even if you don't have the money and she wants wine and a bottle of wine, a share bottle of wine, you got to go to
$80.
$80,
let me think.
$75.
I was going to say, I feel like $75 is a good mid-range.
Yeah, I could go. Yeah. What I don't want to do on a first date is go to the Hunge.
No,
that feels dirty to me.
Unless you got it or you know wine.
Yeah, no. If you got it, I'm saying if you're on a budget, I feel like going to 100 on just the wine on a first date can set up some false expectations that you will not be able to follow up on going forward. Because now you're talking about at least $100 for the wine. You're dealing with a $250 bill there.
See, if women are smart, there's this app. It's called Vivino. And see, a woman, if she's got her phone near her, the guy orders the wine, she pops it on Vivino, and it says $9.99, and you know what you're dealing with.
See, this is why dating is just the worst. Like, I can't imagine dating.
You can get the price the worst. Like, right away.
Man,
you can't hide.
What I'm saying is, it's on the thing. I'm ordering it from the place. If I pay $80, I don't care what your little app says.
$80, you're safe. Because if she sees it's a $40 bottle of wine, she'll go, that's nice. You can't go $40 and she finds out it's a $10 bottle of wine.
I was saying you go $50.
That's 15.
Something about it, though. Something feels.
Natalie,
icky.
You're out with a guy,
and
you get a $15 bottle of wine. He orders $15 bottle of wine.
He
you judge it
$50 because he's 50. You saw on the menu that it's 50.
But she gets the app and she gets.
He's not checking the app. That's a good person.
No, I would. So honestly, depending on the range, I would expect on a first date probably a mid to upper level.
Okay,
bottle.
So you got to go at least $35, $40 bottle of wine.
Yes.
All right, and that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So it's because
tough.
You can't scare a guy.
It's tough in these streets.
It is tough in the streets. That's why a guy can't go. She won't know the wine.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter if she knows the wine. She's going to check.
Then let her pick
it. She's going to judge you.
Then you pick the wine then. I don't know wine. You pick it. Then if she picks the $80 wine, I know what's on and popping. Because if she don't like me, she better not pick the expensive bottle of wine. That's a violation. So the better the wine she picks, the more she must like you.
Yeah, all right. You want to let her pick the wine?
Yeah, because I don't know of wine. You like wine, Natalie? You pick. And if now I'm going, now I'm looking at the bill. When the bill comes, I go... Well, this date was clearly a 10 out of 10 because she made me spend $10,000 on this wine.
And then she puts all over the internet that.
You never know.
It bought me a $10 bottle of wine.
Deferring is probably the best bet if you don't know what to order. Deferring.
That's what
say,
I would defer.
Is one of your favorites on here? And then maybe her favorite will be the $10 bottle. You know, and he'll look out. But then if her favorite's actually the more expensive one.
You leave it to her. She goes, you know, I like this bottle, but it's like $120.
Then right there.
Right. What do you do?
In that case, I say, see, now I know she definitely likes it. And she's going to drink it. It's the first date. So what I'm going to do is say, no problem. Order whatever you'd like.
Really?
Yeah. Because, see, it's a sure thing now.
And then you're not worried about your wallet.
Not in that case, because now the deal is going to be sealed.
You never know.
I know.
First date. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. The Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:48, Mike Missinelli Show. Again, it's the tournament time. I got tickets for you to ride a team. All these tickets I have in front of me have the name of a team on them. You'll get the seed that I pick, and you'll ride that team for the rest of the tournament. This year, wide open, more than anything, I think, unless you think Gonzaga is the best team in the country. It's been a really interesting year to try to evaluate. So any of these teams can win. A 10 seed maybe can win it this year. You never know. So I'm going to give you the top 10 seeds in every bracket. Plus, there's a field ticket, which means you get every other team if it's outside the top 10. And there's one that says Drexel on. All right? So let's go back to the phones. Paul in Downingtown. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Paul?
Now, I want to talk about Kyle Lowry for a second. Now, I love he grew up a few doors down from where I lived. I watched him and Dawn Staley play on the same asphalt. Went to high school with his mom, and I'm currently dating his godmother. So I love the guy.
Okay.
But if you're telling me if we can get him for Green and Scott and a few number ones, I'm down with that. That's gravy. You know, I will take that. But anything else but that. If you got to throw in some of our defense, like Matisse and Shake, no. And we need Matisse. I mean, the Sixers is the type of squad that when you get that timely steal or that timely block, they just go
back. Are you saying this 2 weeks ago? Matisse Thybul can run for mayor all of a sudden?
No, I just love his defense.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, he's been on display lately. He made a couple threes. But come on, man. Seriously? Matisse Thybul would stop you from making the deal for Lowry?
If you have to go on a block, yes. All right, man. I got you.
I'm not feeling you. I think it's silly talk.
The Sixers are a squad right now. Chemistry wise, they're coming together. Okay, they're playing.
How do you know this?
Because their bench is, have they
played the top notch teams in this whole thing?
That's relative, though, Mike.
It's relative. There's a big game Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Well, we shall see. We'll see how much you like Matisse. I hope you're right. I can't understand how people don't think the Sixers' chances would be better with Kyle Lowry on this team.
I'm not saying they won't be better, but I'm just saying with the chemistry they have now,
you're taking a lot of stuff for granted. You got to project. Playoffs, regular season wins against the Spurs.
I know, but you have to understand a shortened bench. Okay, if you got Kyle and and Simmons that they cancel each other out.
All right, listen, I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise. That's the way you feel. That's the way you feel. All right, let me give you a team. All right, here we go. You got to ride this team. San Diego State is the sixth seed in Southwest, is it?
You said Illinois, right?
No, sorry. Illinois is not going to make it anyway. You don't want an Illinois. All right. Paul Downington, you got it, buddy.
All right, man.
San Diego State, always representative.
Yeah, they make the tournament just about every year.
I got them winning a game, first game. You got them win?
Yeah, I got them winning
a game. San Diego State plays Syracuse.
Yeah, I got them beating Syracuse.
Yeah.
I actually think that I know the ACC was bad this year. So a lot of times when I zone in, I pick, like, if a conference is strong, I like a lot of their teams.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten was a good conference. ACC was a bad conference.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those teams are going to get clipped early.
Yeah, San Diego State in Midwest, 16 Midwest. If they win the first game and West Virginia wins the first game, that's the second. That'd be a good game. And then your squad is in the Midwest lurking. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights, the 10th seed.
They're gonna win two games. Rutgers is getting to the 16.
I got one. I don't think they win in the second.
They don't win the second. Because of a Houston? Miss me with a Houston.
Very well coached team, man.
So is Rutgers. Rutgers very well coached. Two games for Cinderella Rutgers. I cannot wait till week two when I'm basking in the glory.
Natalie.
There's no Penn State, there's no Temple, but we'll have Rutgers.
Well, I know.
There wouldn't be Penn State, but Natalie.
Yes.
Rutgers in the tournament. We're talking about Rutgers possibly winning two games. Your squad not in the tournament.
Zilch. Nada.
That's not good.
No. She got all kinds of Drexel people all up in her face, too, now.
That's
a whole new phenomenon in Natalie's life. She's never had to deal with this
before. Never had to deal with Drexel. I've dealt with everybody else.
Yeah, well.
That's what I mean.
All right.
Drexel
close,
people.
Close to Penn, but not close enough. That's all I got to say.
612-632-0975. By the way, Nat's going to make some pasta. We decided tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's the pasta day.
Tomorrow's pasta day. People were asking me. But people are asking me at the golf course. When's Natalie cooking? Because she's not cooking. She's making dough for pasta.
Yeah, I think I have a little table I can bring in tomorrow.
Because right,
to
awesome.
Fit in the shot, I had to lift. It has to lift up to basically the top of where her... It's where her laptop is so that people can actually see it.
See it? Okay.
Right,
so
cool.
That'll be fun.
Something in.
Like a little breakfast in bed table?
Yeah, but it's a little higher than that. It's like a little table that has legs, but hopefully it'll make it to where people can actually see it in the shot because I don't want to be messing with the cameras.
There could be flour flying all over the place tomorrow.
I'll try and keep it as neat as possible.
Have you opened it up and then have you seen how it works?
Yeah, I opened it up and took a look at it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready to tackle the task.
That sounds good. That'll be tomorrow. Mike Missanelli show continues 4 o'clock hour. Keith Pompey is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Sixers and Kyle Lowry and whether he thinks right now. Leave it be. Just leave it be. Ride what you got. You can still win. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 4 o'clock hour, it's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. All right, the Sixers have fared quite well, and they got some good news, I guess, that Embiid's only going to be out for a couple weeks instead of having a ligament tear. So that was the biggest news of the whole thing, and not the least of which was last night crushing the San Antonio Spurs in a monster game where Pop just gave it up. But so what are they right now? That's the question. And you get the trading deadline coming up, approaching. Let's find out what the Sixers are. The man who covers them for the Inquirer, his name is Keith Pompey. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Keith.
How you doing?
Doing all right. How you feel? You feeling all right?
Yeah,
I'm all right. Why are you just doing all right? You're supposed to say I'm doing well.
Like, well,
doing
I never go well. I always underplay it, you know?
I
don't want to gloat about how great I feel, you know?
Okay.
All right. So how are the Sixers feeling, more importantly? Because, you know, they've been able to beat a couple of teams without their stars. And, of course, Ben back last night. But they're getting lifts from certain players, including Thibault, including Tony Bradley, dudes like that. Do they need to make a trade?
That's a great question, Mike. I mean, when you look at it and you say to yourself, like, okay, this team has, you know, been blowing teams out without the stars. At the end of the day, I do think that depending on who the person is, and if you can get the right guy, I think you may still have to make a move, you know, just to solidify yourself, you know, to go to a championship. But the way they're playing, I mean, they're averaging, what, they're beating teams by an average of 27.6 points in the last three games. I mean, they're playing at an elite level right now.
They are. And one of the guys that's really picked up the game is Matisse Thybulle. Now, when we're discussing a trade, that's one of the guys that would probably, another team, if they're going to give you a decent player, would probably want to include. But right now, I'm trying to figure out whether Doc Rivers has tightened this team up and defined roles that would not necessitate them to make a trade. Because there's a lot of people that don't want to mess with things right now.
Yeah, I understand that. Like, and especially if you have to get rid of Matisse. And I'm pretty sure a lot of teams, you know, if you can't get a draft pick, they're going to ask for Matisse or Maxey. And I don't know if I want to give up either one. I mean, just because of, you know, I'm looking at guys like Jeremy Grant and other players who they gave up a while ago, and you look at their production. And I think Matisse Thybulle is going to be a star. I mean, I've been saying that for 2 years now. You know, all he has to do is just be more consistent offensively. And look at him now. I mean, this guy is like a great playing, like a great two-way player. I don't know if I want to get rid of Matisse. I just can't do that right about now.
Hmm. So that means Lowry's out for you.
You know, it depends. See, and the whole thing about the whole Lowry thing, I always thought that everything was, it had to, like, Toronto, it was their call, you know, and now you're looking at it, you see how the Clippers are playing. The Clippers are struggling. Like, I'm watching TV today, they're talking about the Clippers need to go after a point guard. So do you really want to get into, a battle or, you know, you're trying to outbid the Clippers because the Clippers need them desperately? Nah, I don't think I'm willing to do that right about now. And here's the thing about Kyle. Wherever he goes, you know, you're going to have to re-sign him, because if you give up everything for him and you don't re-sign him for what, he wants like $30 million per, I mean, that's going to look crazy. It's going to look like remember when they went after Tobias and everybody's like, well, Tobias got paid. Why they pay him all that money? Mm-hmm. Well, you had to pay him all that money because you gave up everything to get him. And I think the Kyle Lowry situation would be similar.
All right, so to the good here, the Sixers in this month, they're 5-0, 122.9 offensive rating, that's second best in the league, 103.8 defensive rating, second best in the league. That's a plus 19.1 net rating, and that's way better than the Nets, who had the second best in the league. So if you're making the case, are they as good as the Nets? Yes, and here's the other thing. The KD situation is very shaky for them. So might not be looking at a team with those three stars. And this team could beat the Nets straight up without Durant, right?
No.
No?
Here's my thing about the whole Durant thing. And I get it. You know, the thing is, this whole season is so condensed that where, you know, Durant, you know, who knows if how his hamstring is. But you're not going to rush him back. I mean, to me, the whole thing is, you're looking at this team, Brooklyn, where they haven't had all their pieces together, and they're right behind the Sixers. I mean, the Sixers are playing lights out right now, right? Mm-hmm. 5-game winning streak. They're 8-2 over their last 10 games, and Brooklyn is right behind them. So if I'm Brooklyn, I'm saying to myself, like, look, as long as we can rest KD and make sure he's 100% when he comes back, because right now we just want to win a championship. We don't have to be number one in the regular season, especially with this killer schedule the Sixers have. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we're there at the end. So, you know what I mean? I get it and I understand all that. But I just think that the whole KD thing is you're not really trying to rush him back.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it's, the focus is winning the championship, you know?
Okay. So you think you're going to get the full Nets by playoff time. That'll be the full Nets.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I mean, this whole year is crazy, man. Yeah, I think you're going to get
all right, so now I'm going to take you down this lane now. If you get the full Nets, you're telling me right now this team's not as good as the Nets.
Well, you know, and right now this team has been playing out of his mind, you know, so it's like I'm still trying to figure out if they can sustain this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the full Nets, I'm talking about you got like Blake Griffin coming off the bench. You know, I'm expecting the Nets to make another move beforehand. Like, to me, they're just deep, man. They're really deep. I mean, we're talking about the All-Stars, but when nobody's talking about Joe Harris. Nobody's talking about the other guys, role players that they had, who play at a high level. So
I'm trying to get past the Nets here, Keith. Help me out. You got to help me out. How can this team get past the Nets then?
Doc Rivers.
That's
they can go out and get some players, but you know, here's my thing. Like, see, you're asking questions, but you kind of sort of know the answer.
I wanted Lowry.
I know. Yeah. I mean, Lowry is great, but he would be great. The only problem is that right now, like, I mean, I'm telling you, Lowry would be great. But as long as the Clippers and teams like that are struggling, because let's face it, the Clippers are out there in L.A., right? So the long as they keep struggling, the pressure is going to be on for them to make adjustments to that roster and go out there and get a point guard. And if you're the 76ers, in order for you to get Lowry, you're going to have to get a couple other teams involved, right?
Uh-huh.
Right now, I believe the Clippers have better assets that they're willing to give up than the Sixers are.
Uh-huh.
Because if you get rid of Matisse Thybulle and Maxey and guys like that, and you allocate all that money, you know, you have to make sure that you're going to be in position to beat the Nets.
Yeah.
And not only beat the Nets, beat Utah, beat the Lakers, beat whoever come out the West. So that's the sticky thing right there. But, you know, I mean, there's some things, but, you know, when I'm looking at it, I'm looking at Brooklyn as a team right now seems to me that's just building for the future. I mean, or for the playoffs. Now, when I say Doc Rivers, you know, you look at Doc Rivers, he's a coach that he got this team. They're gelling. They're playing at an elite level,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
He's going to, like, I think that when it comes down to a playoff, from the coaching standpoint, the coaching advantage is going to be Doc. I mean, you look at Doc, how he has these guys playing.
Yeah.
I mean, you never heard of Tony Bradley before this year. I mean, you haven't.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to hear from him after this year either. But no, I got you. All right, so now let's look at the schedule because let's face it, they survived without Embiid against crap, basically. Chicago gave it up. The Wizards gave it up, and so did the Spurs last night. So here we come tomorrow night. The Knicks, interesting. And then Milwaukee on a back-to-back. What are you looking for in those two games? Can they prove a little more?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll beat the Knicks. I mean, I think they'll beat the Knicks. You know, it's just something about the Knicks. I know they're going to be fired up, but I think the Sixers are going to be amped up, motivated. The game that really scares me, and it's going to be a national TV game against the Milwaukee Bucks, so the Sixers are going to be up for that. But the Sixers are going to be playing on a second game of a back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
whereas Milwaukee is going to be sitting in Philly the day before just watching the game, resting. You know, to me, I'm a little concerned about that one.
And yeah, plus no Embiid. Like, we're not going to get like a full eyeball of what that's going to be like. So,
yeah, that's scary to me. I mean, that game is scary because, I mean, and then Giannis, it just seems like he's always attacking the Sixers. Like, he's going at them hard. So, I mean, that game scares me right there.
All right, I get you. The only thing I can pull out of these two games with without Embiid is whether Korkmaz against higher level talent can actually make some shots. So that's what I'm kind of looking for at this point.
Especially when everything goes rough, though. I mean, think about
it. Yeah, that's what I mean. I've never seen when everything goes rough, I've never seen him produce.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. All right. Hey, Keith, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline. Well, there you go. The Lowry thing is, I don't know. He doesn't seem to be, he's still high on the Nets. So that's, I am too. But I'm trying to get past the Nets. And you need a major acquisition or two to get past the Nets.
Yeah, if the Nets are full strength, I still believe that the Sixers are the second best team. I believe in full strength. We won't find out, obviously, this week. I still think the Sixers will be better than the Bucks because of Giannis's limitations with the shooting. That allows them, with the way they play defense, they can really lock down on everybody else because he's going to go to the rim every time. And they've done well against him in the past as far as making him be a volume guy.
What are you looking for in these two games? Even if you want to bypass the Knicks, go to Milwaukee. What would you like to see?
I need an aggressive. Ben Simmons was coming off for like 11 days off. So he eased his way into the game. Against the Bucks, he probably can't ease his way in. And then continued attempts from Curry and Green. I need 3-point volume from this team. The misses are makes you can't really control. But Thibault, even Korkmaz, Green, Curry, they have to be on that bombing away from three. That's the kind of mentality. That's the style. And when they bogged down some, they were running off that 3-point line. No. Against this good teams, you got to be bombs away. And if you miss and you lose because you miss, so what? But bend, dribble, drive, kick, and fire. That's the kind of stuff I'm going to need. The style of play.
Oh, you Korkmaz fan, here comes the test.
Right. Like, now is he going to be in there shooting off, or is he going to be in there running off the line, dribbling into the paint, lose it out of bounds?
I got nothing.
We've seen that a lot of times, though, where when they play that real defense on him, he either tries to shoot it too quick, or he puts it on the floor and then puts, because he's not really a playmaker. He doesn't pass. He's dribbling. Mm-hmm. Just to shoot. He never dribbles to pass.
Uh-huh.
So once he gets in the paint, he's an easy guard. You just wait. He's going to dribble off his foot. Because he's not going to kick it out. He doesn't do that.
Uh-huh.
So I need him to then find a spot. And when Ben gets you an open look, you fire.
All right, let's go. Will in Brookhaven. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. Sorry, I got you on speakers. All right, boom. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Will?
Matt and Tyrone. Yeah. I like Kyle Lowry, but like Keith was saying, will he resign with us? And I know, you know, he's a hometown kid, but, you know, I mean, he got to take
a
discount.
Yeah, but he's not taking a discount. I'm worried about the will he sign with us part as much as I want to get a guy who can help me win right now. And he does that. Now, I'll worry about the signing part later. But I know exactly what he's going to give me, and it's going to be better than what you have.
Yeah, but, Mike, you know there's another guard out there we can get besides Kyle Lowry, and I like Kyle Lowry's game, but don't forget George Hill, though. He might can give up a
he'll help him. He's not going to help him mess with Lowry.
He might give up a Maxey and Scott and some maybe money.
You think George Hill really makes them better than if they had Kyle Lowry?
He's serviceable.
I don't need serviceable. I need to get better in the Nets. Come on, Will. Kill me.
And as far as this coming draft, you going to see this bunch of Thibodeaux and Maxeys out there in this upcoming draft.
That's why I always say I don't mean them any disrespect. They're nice players. I think I could find another Maxey and Thibodeaux.
Yeah,
maybe not Thibodeaux because he's so defensive oriented and. These kind of, but I think you can find an athlete and make him a defender.
Baylor's backcourt. Those two guards are excellent, man, defensively.
Yeah.
Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the kid from Houston, Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, Ty doesn't like to hear that because he thinks Rutgers going to beat Houston.
I'm not
seeing that second win.
Houston going to beat Rutgers.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to give you a team now, Will.
All right,
you want a team? All right, here we go.
Yeah.
I got the 7th seed, UConn. The UConn Huskies, you guys. Not happy about that, are you?
I mean, they got the kid I like, what's his name?
Boat, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they can get out the first round.
All right.
Yeah.
You got it. I'm sorry about that. You caught that, all right. I got them going out in the first round.
They're
playing Maryland. They might win that game. Maryland's played a lot more games, though.
Yeah, they...
They're seasoned.
Yeah, because they kept it tight with the COVID. COVID, we don't know how that's going to play out. The teams that played 7-8 extra games, how's that going to play out over the season? Yeah. Are they have more continuity?
Plus, Maryland's got two tough Philly dudes.
Yeah.
On that squad.
Yeah, and that conference, because they're not ACC anymore, that's a tough conference. They played against a bunch of good teams.
They did. They're tested.
So, I mean, that conference is good, and ACC is weak. That's part of the reason why those teams have a shot, because they've all played tough games.
I'm going to have to go Maryland and see what the line on that game is.
Yeah, that's...
See if it is indicative. All right, anyway, Grammy Glory. Every hour, we're playing an award winner from last night, if you watched the Grammys. And so far, we've gone through Beyonce, we've gone through Megan Thee Stallion, and now this one is the the Song of the Year. What's the difference between Song of the Year and Record of the Year?
One goes to the artist, one goes to the writer.
Okay,
and then yeah.
So this is Song of the Year, and it's her. I Can't Breathe. She's got a very interesting story. Young lady.
Yes,
young.
I love her.
Very, very talented young lady.
Insane.
She's a super duper star if people have to rise to her, though, because she's not going to come down to them, which she's different. She's operating at a different level than a lot of people, and she's not going to dumb it down for a hit.
Yeah, she's sharp. So the song is I Can't Breathe. This is her.
At the same time, all the corruption and justice, the same crimes. Always a problem if we do or don't fight, and we die, we don't have the same right. What is a gun to a man that surrenders? What's it gonna take for someone to defend her? If we all agree that we're equal as people, then why can't we see what is evil?
Her, that's a good. She's got a great voice.
Yeah, oh, her voice, and she plays. She plays like all of her own instruments and stuff. And she's beyond talented.
Yeah, she's the person that people think other artists are out there. Really, she's like a one person. She comes in with a concept, and she leaves with a song. Her,
yeah,
yes,
her, yes, leaves with a song.
That's correct.
Some people, they get credit for that, and they don't do that.
Her real name is Gabrielle Sarmiento Wilson. Cali girl.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. We have one more song for the Grammys in the 5 o'clock hour. All you One Direction fans, Jason Sudeikis won't be the enamored with it, but that's coming up.
For sure.
And you know what? She's kind of wrong for that.
She had to break his heart, man.
I don't mind the breakup with whoever you break up with, but you got kids. You don't have to be flaunting all around with the young person.
With a young kid.
Same thing would be with a man. I'd say, come on. You don't have to be flaunting it. Yeah. Like, you can be private about the situation. You got the kids running around with a teeny bopper. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
They're probably fans of his.
He had the shawls on last night.
Boa.
Yeah, the boas.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boas on last night. He changed it like every other...
That was funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
He's talented.
Yeah, he sure is. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get a Twitter poll update. 4:30 on the Mike Vaselli Show. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
All righty, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,100 votes on it so far. The Sixers are playing really well. Are you willing to trade young players and assets to try to win now? 64% say yes, 36% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, speaking of the Grammys last night, how come you guys didn't put Dua Lipa on the list for...
A little too new.
Yeah. She didn't cross my mind, honestly.
Nothing wrong with her.
No, she's beautiful.
Nothing wrong with her.
Albanian.
Yeah.
She's,
yeah. I love her songs.
Good songs.
Yeah.
Good pop songs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She understands what her audience is, and she hits that audience.
All right, let's move on to a little bit of a mock draft situation here. We got a very interesting mock draft from The Athletic. So, and this one has some blockbuster trades in it. So, Jaguars take Lawrence. That's not going to change. The Jets at 2. According to this mock draft, they make a trade with the Carolina Panthers. They give up 2. And they give up number 147. They get the 8th selection. That's the Panthers pick. 39 overall, 114 overall, and a 2022 first round pick.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid for the Jets to do.
That's a nice bounty, yeah.
All right. So maybe Carolina is hot. The quarterback that this says they're going to take is Zach Wilson from BYU.
Yeah, his arm, people love his arm. And he's up on those boards.
All right. Third pick, another trade. The Falcons move down to 3. The Dolphins get number 4 overall and a third round pick for moving one spot. The Falcons jump ahead because they want to take Justin Fields.
That makes a lot of sense. And Miami, that's smart because they're apparently not in the quarterback market. They like Tua still.
And Miami sliding to 4. They take Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon.
Protect your quarterback.
These are really interesting.
That would be very smart and shrewd by Miami. I think that would be great.
Now, the Bengals, who have been, you know, they're all over Sewell.
Yeah.
Now, they have to take Jamar Chase at 5. And at 6, a trade.
Now, what's the trade?
The Eagles will trade out of that spot, according to this, to the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers get the 6th pick overall. The Eagles move back to 12. They also get pick 103 and a 2022 second-round pick. The Niners hot for Trey Lance at 6 from North Dakota State. We thought that maybe a team that wanted a quarterback would jump in there.
Yeah, I actually think that that's a possibility of happening, but I would be a little uncomfortable going to 12. That's slightly further back than I would like to go. 12
and 103 in the second round in 2020. Is that enough? Is that enough?
The math would say to move to 6 spots, that would be good. That's the value. The second round pick plus the third. Yeah, that's probably what the chart would say. The Eagles probably win that trade based on the chart.
All right, well, then we'll see what they say of 12 here as we keep going down. The Lions take Micah Parsons at 7.
He's a really good player. I wish the Eagles were interested in linebackers, because then I think he would be in the mix because he's that good, but we know he's not going
to
happen.
The Jets, who moved down to 8, now take an offensive tackle.
The one from Iowa?
No, they take Sean Slater from Northwestern.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, now 9, there's a trade. The Patriots get 9. They trade with the Denver Broncos. The Broncos move to 15, and they get number 97 and a third-round pick in 2022. The Patriots grab Kyle Pitts right there by trading in the 9.
Now, the Patriots today, after that was written, they had no way of knowing, got a tight end.
Yeah, they did. They paid big money, right?
But a lot of people don't think Pitts is just a tight end. So, and they did Hernandez and Gronk before.
They did.
So that this that signing would not preclude them from taking him if they think he's the best player.
All right, so the Eagles haven't picked. They're 12 now, okay? Couple good players still on the board. Dallas Cowboys, oh, they come in, they sweep Patrick Surtain off the board at 10.
I think he's a good player.
The Giant, Devontae Smith, is still there, and they take him with 11. One pick ahead of the Eagles.
That would hurt.
At 12, the Eagles say Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver from Alabama at 12.
Based on how the board fell, that would be the right pick. It's just, I wonder how fans would feel about it.
Yeah, they were bypassing the second corner. Jalen Waddle.
But Waddle, I think, is more highly rated. If you were just taking best player available, Waddle probably has a higher grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably what they thought Rager can be. I think he is a game-breaker type. It's just, I don't know if fans would be overwhelmed with
it. All right, so there you go. That's a projection from The Athletic. Let's go to Tom in Philly. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey.
What's up, Tom?
How are all y'all doing?
We're doing good, Tom. How you doing?
I am in fine fettle today.
Good.
Fully vaccinated on Friday.
Good for you. Congratulations.
VA. Yes.
Beautiful.
And before I get to the Sixers, one little St. Paddy's trivia. The reason that the shamrock is so important in Ireland is that St. Patrick used it. And it's three petals to teach the Irish the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, thank you very, very much for the information. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why when you see a shamrock, maybe you'll think about that.
I absolutely will now.
Okay. Anyway, I'm still on board. I want Kyle Lowry, but I'm really getting concerned about something here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Joel Embiid. Getting hurt way too often. He's big and he plays so hard. He's so big. And it's a long way to the floor, I guess. So every time he hits that floor, there's a possibility that something's going to happen. And all these trade talks won't mean anything if we don't have Embiid throughout the playoffs.
Well, of course. But you can't worry that he's going to get hurt. He got a bone bruise, and he's going to be fine.
No, right. This last time is not too bad, and the times before that. But I mean,
why are you training your brain to worry about something that's not happening, or like that could like speculative? Like, why would you worry about that?
He's so good.
Tom, you can't worry. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it.
Well,
don't worry, Tom.
Don't worry.
Everything's beautiful. Don't worry.
All right. And by the way, what you just touched on, the mock draft, I'll take that. Waddles would be great
All right. Excellent. Now, let me give you a team to ride for the tournament.
Yeah, why don't you give me my team? You know my team.
No, I'm sorry. I just picked your ticket. It is LSU, the eighth seed, who I predict to go down in the first round.
In fact, I already put my mock draft in, and they are going down.
Oh, so wow, that's a shame. You got a team that's going down. LSU, I got them losing to St. Bonaventure, right? Is that who they would lose to?
I think that's who they play.
St. Bonaventure. I like the Bodies.
There you go. Yeah, the Bodies are
I cashed
tough.
A ticket yesterday. I didn't even know the game. I forgot the game was on. I bet it last Tuesday. St. Bonaventure in the Atlantic 10 final over VCU. They won yesterday. I forgot.
Yeah, VCU, you know, that team, VCU too, they managed to stay good almost every year too. Strange.
Yeah.
For a while, Shaka Smart came to win. Jeff Capel before that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I used to do their games when they came to Philly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, LaSalle would play them, and then I would do the road.
LaSalle,
they'd
play,
and they used to would always play them, and I would do the road feed for them back in the day. When Capel and the other coaches were there back in the day, I would always do the road feed. It was a nice way to make a couple dollars.
Yeah, VCU, they're playing hard. That's where the tight end from the Colts came, right?
Yeah.
Mo Alley-Cox
played
for VCU.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's get Brad in Philly. Brad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brad.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Brad?
Thanks for having me on. I'll follow up Tom's pessimistic call with another pessimistic call. I apologize in advance.
That's all right.
Nova, Winthrop. Worried about that one.
I've already picked Winthrop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen, Villanova's got a better pedigree, obviously. They're not playing well at all. They seem to be lost. And like a hungry team like Winthrop could pull that upset.
Yeah, I agree. But the Sixers, if you had to bet money on it, next three games, I think we're going 2-1. We're at home next three games, 2-1. And then the five that follow. How in the world are we going to win more than two games out in the West Coast versus, well, we got the Knicks, Golden State, LA, Clippers, Lakers, and then Denver. Tell me how we get to two wins.
Well, it's a tough schedule, but like, you know, I don't think Golden State would be a tough game to win. They'll probably lose that next game to the Lakers, but then Saturday come back and beat the Clippers. And then on the right, you got Denver. Yeah, they're tough, but you're going to lose those games. You're going to lose a couple of games in that swing.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. And with Embiid out the whole time, you know, we'll be third or fourth by then. And then I don't know. I think.
Yeah, they're not going to drop that far. They might drop to two, but
if you're really serious about winning, you got to go get somebody like Beal.
You're not getting Beal.
Well, then we'll enjoy watching them.
These guys, like, I know people keep telling me Beal and Levine, you can't get players like that. There's no reason for their teams to trade them.
Why would Beal want to play with $44 million tied up in Westbrook, who's 30?
He's not going to talk himself out now out of a deal. Like, he's got paid. He's not, and there's no reason for the Wizards to trade him.
Yeah, I guess not.
You're not going to trade. They're not trading Bradley Beal to you. It'd be foolish for Washington to do that.
Yeah, they're going to be bad for a long time.
All right, man. Listen.
One more thing.
What?
I want to just touch on the wine stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've been running restaurants for a little while, mm-hmm. and you seem to be the guy that wants to buy the most expensive wine.
No, I don't. No, I look for a good bargain, but I'm not buying a cheap wine either.
Right, but you understand that the $80 bottle of wine at the restaurant's costing them $15, right?
The markup is high. I'm thinking that you have to at least go that high to make it representative.
If you're going to be cheap, you go to a BYOB, then you bring in some.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're changing the narrative.
Yeah.
We're saying if you go into a restaurant, somebody hands you a wine list, and the day wants a bottle of wine, at that point, you got to buy a decent bottle of wine. You can't buy a $10 bottle of wine that costs you $40. You see what I'm saying? Mr. Wine? All right. Now, Brad, here's your team to ride through the tournament. It is Loyola of Chicago, an eighth seed.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I get it, Mr. Wine. We understand. You get it with BYOB. I get it.
Some other people
have
been chiming in and saying that too.
You're changing the narrative. I didn't say they're taking to a BYOB. Obviously, you can control your wine there if
right.
you go with BYOB.
Right.
And just to clarify, earlier when I said that if you let her pick and she picks the most expensive wine, she probably likes you. This is why. If you pick the most expensive bottle, you're going to sit there and you're going to drink it.
Yes.
If she's feeling uncomfortable, she's not going to get the most expensive bottle of wine and then sit there and talk to you more. She's going to want to run out of there. So she's getting a glass or something and leaving quickly. The fact that she gets the expensive bottle means she probably is somewhat attracted to you and you can talk and then do what you have to do on the date. Most likely.
Perhaps. Or the alternative is she's like, I'm never going to see this dude again, so I'm going to get the nicest bottle of wine and then
right,
enjoy it.
But what did you say in the first? Because about that. That's before you even really get warm into the date. What did you
know,
say
you're
so
right.
early to
you're
make
right.
her hate you?
If you let her pick the bottle of wine, though, you're kind of a chump.
Why?
Because you're supposed to know a little. You take charge of the situation. You're the guy taking charge. They hand you the wine list.
Beat her over the head, too, and drag her. Like, what do you mean?
You're taking her to dinner. You're, you could pick the wine. You're in control of the date. They hand you the wine list. You got to at least fake it that you know what you're doing.
Nah. Like, well, do you have a particular wine that you prefer? If she says yes, then we'll get the wine that she prefers.
She's going to say no. She's not going to say yes.
Why? She might like wine.
85% of the time, she's going to say no. Natalie, am I right?
Probably.
She's not going to say, yes, I'll pick the wine.
Well, in that
case, she might.
Well, I'll pick it. What if, she says
honestly,
she doesn't care, then I'll pick it. But if she's okay with picking it, I don't think that makes you a pansy because you
say
you can have whatever wine you like.
It does.
No.
You can't defer the wine choice. It's your date.
Man, this is some weird thing.
She didn't ask you out.
This is the new thing.
You asked
of masculinity. Picking wine?
No.
You're not masculine unless you pick a Cabernet. Like, that's full. This is poppycock.
See, I would prefer
a
Cabernet.
Ask the woman to pick the wine on the first date. It makes you a weenie.
I think what will make you a weenie is a whole bunch of weenie-like things. You saying, I'll pay for whatever you want. Doesn't exactly sound like a weenie.
She doesn't
want to
make the choice. She doesn't want to make the choice for the wine. She doesn't.
Yeah, I can't. I don't go with that. I think what you're saying, perhaps, is this is the. You say point out the times you're wrong. This particular
what
time,
what would you say? The percentage
wrong.
Of people of women that are wine connoisseurs, as opposed to the man being a wine connoisseur.
I don't know. I don't
Natalie?
Know.
Natalie.
I don't know.
I mean. It depends, I think.
If the woman likes wine and she picks
See,
the wine,
I
and I'm
like wine
for
and
it,
I have my favorites. So if right. my favorite was on there, I may be more inclined to say, hey, I like this one.
And I'd say whatever you'd like.
But if Good also, if he offered and said, I like this one, then I would
prepare for a date, educate yourself a little bit so you can pick a good bottle of wine. You don't fly by the seat of your pants and ask her to pick it.
Let's take a break. I study for a date?
10 minutes. Mike Missanelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 450. Mike Missanelli Show. Let's squeeze some calls in here as we approach the 5 o'clock hour and start with Andrew and Bluebell. What's up, Andrew?
Mike, you are 1,000,000,000% right about the wine call. You ask her what types of wine that she likes, but you pick out the bottle.
It's just courtesy and classy because you're in control of the date. Now, if she asks you out, it's just like if you ask, you got a business meeting, you ask some guys to meet you for business, they're going to give you the wine list. So you're making the call for the people you invited out. That's all
exactly.
It is.
It's a polite thing to do, and especially if you're going to pay, and it also shows that you're going to pay. There's no question that it's going to be Dutch or something like that. By you saying that you're going to pick the wine, she knows that this is on you, and it's a very nice thing to do.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about baseball if we can. Can we talk about center field for just 1 minute?
Sure. It looks like Odubel Herrera is your starting center fielder.
Spring training. Now, can we give Odubel Herrera a break? He's batting .340. And can we give Mickey Moniak a break? Okay.
Why would I want to give Odubel Herrera a break?
Because everybody deserves a second
chance. No, they don't. Not necessarily. You want a second chance? Do it in another city. I don't have to give him a break.
In fact,
I'm abhorrent that they're going to, because he's going to hit .340, they're going to give him a job and forget about the fact that he put his hands around someone's neck.
Okay, but we're also paying him. I mean, she didn't testify. I feel very badly that he probably, but they've been married since.
They're not married since. They're together since, which is typical in a domestic violence situation. The woman will stay.
Correct.
That doesn't mean that he's rehabilitated.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Mickey Moniak, okay? We can forgive him, too. He's a first overall pick 4 years ago. We've hated him. He's now like our 30th prospect. But he's batting .400.
What?
He's playing very well.
Okay, so I'm more comfortable if they came north with Mickey Moniak than Odubel Herrera. I'm okay with that.
But aren't you a little bit mad that we're paying Odubel Herrera $10 million?
That's their mistake. They made a mistake. Yeah. It's their pot. They cooked it.
Yeah.
I don't have, because he's hitting 3-4. He's 0-3 today, by the way.
Okay, why did you say?
But I couldn't care less if he hit 700. I don't care about that. It's because then you're making the baseball ability more important than what really matters.
Yeah. Well,
come on, man.
Don't sell out that quick
because he's the best candidate for a position.
No, not sell out that quick. It's been 2 years, right?
Well, then let him play for the Kansas City Royals. All right, go somewhere else. I don't want that taint around me.
Well, all I want is I want a center fielder that's on the team now that we can.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want Odubel Herrera. So anybody else you want to play there? Go ahead, knock yourself out.
Okay.
All right.
I'll play Mickey Moniak.
Okay. Here's your team. Your team is Arkansas. Three seed. They're a 3 seed. That's not bad.
Not bad.
All right.
Listen, it's better than Loyola of Chicago.
All right. You got it, buddy. Andrew from Bluebell. This is the thing I was afraid of. Well, he's hitting 3D. I don't care what he's hitting.
Yeah, you said that. You said that the people are going to talk themselves by him being around.
Exactly, and that's why it's their fault, because they made the fans make that kind of a decision.
Right, but to compare Moniak not being the first overall pick and not living up to expectations with putting your hands on a woman's throat, like, how could you do that in back-to-back sentences? One guy's trying his best and coming up short in baseball. Moniak's gotten in no trouble. He's been nothing but a good person. This other guy's a scumbag human, and you're comparing him like it's the same. Like, that part bothers me.
Well,
Moniak's playing baseball.
Yeah.
He's not hurting women.
Well,
he's not hurting anyone.
That's the problem, is that people like him are comfortable equating the situation. And he called in to justify. Nobody was asking today. Nobody was talking about it.
We didn't even bring that up today, Mike.
This is what the Phillies have done by putting him in that kind of a position to win fans over for frivolous reasons.
If he's okay with it and he calls in and justifies it and is comfortable comparing that type of situation
to
a bad baseball player, then you're complicit in condoning domestic violence, exactly. And I don't care.
All right, they lost to the Yankees 4-2 today. Let's see, just quick highlights before we go into the break. Reese Hoskins had a hit and an RBI. Segura had one for one with two walks. Nothing special. Anything, no, nothing really standing out today. Odubel was 0-3. Kingery was 0-3 with another strikeout, hitting 120 now. And Roman Quinn was 1-3. The pitching line, Chase Anderson. Oh, 3 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts. Archie Bradley gave up a run on 2 hits in an inning. Neris with a clean inning with 2 strikeouts. Jose Alvarado gave up a 1 hit in 1 inning, no runs. He still has not been scored upon. Rondon got the loss. He got hammered. And that's about it. All right, 5 o'clock hours ahead. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show in the Delaware Valley. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. We'll play you one last Grammy Award winner in about 10 or so minutes. And we're also still doing the NCAA tournament situation here, where I've got in my little pile here the names of the top 10 seeds in each region, plus a ticket that says the field. So anybody that's above a top 10 seed that actually wins and gets to the Final Four, you also will win prize. And if you win the whole thing, if your team wins the whole thing, you get a $100 gift certificate to Jasper's Backyard. What's it called? Jasper's Backyard. Just called Jasper's Backyard.
Jasper's Backyard.
Yes. All right. So I was During the break, I was looking at this retweet of somebody who was outraged that I picked Winthrop against Villanova. So I could see if you went to Villanova, you wouldn't like that. So I scrolled down a little more. Guess who's the one who tweeted the original tweet? Brian Westbrook.
Yeah.
Westbrook's all upset.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Friday, he says.
Well, he has every right to feel that way.
Yeah, it's nothing against the program. I love the Cats. I mean, well, I love Jay. And I just think that the way they're playing right now is ripe for an upset in that position, that 5-12 position.
Well, yes, I hear what you're saying. The thing is, see, like, I don't love the Nova program. It's well known.
Yes.
You have claimed not an allegiance, but a love for the program. You have.
Listen, I just think they're carrying the flag for college basketball, and I respect it in this town.
Except Friday, you're going Winthrop.
Well, yeah, I'm just going by feel there. Because I've been disappointed now, Villanova. They look all discombobulated right now.
Somebody said that it's Villanova versus Winthrop, even though it's pronounced differently. It's like the trading places game.
It's Winthrop.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like the trading places game Philadelphia. What's happened in Philadelphia.
Trading places game. I got you.
So they're saying, once again, Philly will win over.
I'm going to have to weigh this because Villanova has the pedigree and they played in big games and you know, I can't take that lightly. So I don't know. The original look at it was, this looks like an upset.
I believe that when the brackets come out, it's still early, right before they'll say they do the percentage of brackets picked in this contest and that, more than 50% are going to pick that upset.
Yeah, I think you're right.
5-12 happens every year anyway.
I heard Seth Davis on TV say it last night.
Oh, yeah.
They did at the show, during the show.
Yeah, so your opinion is not a radical position at all. It's just that your recent love of Nova, I think, might make some Nova people like Westbrook feel betrayed. Like, they don't care what me and Matt say.
They
won't care a lick if I say this.
Mikey Miss Easy Chair of Villanova now. They're feeling a little more confident. Well, if it makes them feel any better, I also picked the 12 seed Georgetown to beat the 5 seed Colorado.
So did I.
So
a hot team coming into the tournament like that, that kind of stuff matters.
Yes.
So, and then that's also an argument, though, against Nova, who kind of limped in.
They did. They were not trending well.
No.
Now, speaking of trending not well, I just want to touch on the Flyers here because we really haven't had any Flyer feedback today.
No.
But the coach said something. I'm curious to know how Flyer fans felt about it after the loss to the Caps on Saturday. He says, I do like parts of our game at this moment. I do think we're trending the right way. Results-wise, maybe not, but as far as playing the game the way it should permit you to win, I do think we're trending in the right direction. Well, maybe I don't know hockey, and I'm not Alain Vigneault. I don't see him trending in the right direction. And even Giroux, the captain, says if they keep trending the right way, keep doing the right things, they're going to win a lot of hockey games. That's just a throwaway line. They're not trending in the right way. They've won 5 of their last 12. 3 were against the worst team in hockey. Another one required a miracle comeback. They're not trending the right way. And here's some. Usually I don't get mixed up in analytics with hockey, but this is an interesting little analytics because this speaks to their goaltending. We don't talk about their defense. The goaltending's not picking them up either. So they're 5th in scoring chances allowed per 60. 16th in high danger chances allowed. But by save percentage, they're at the bottom. 30th in all situations and dead last at 5-on-5 situations. They're giving up a lot of goals that worse than other teams in the league are.
Yes, and that's why I still am a Carter Hart believer. Now, he's starting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to start showing it. I think there's a lot of pressure on him right now, but somehow he has to play as if it's no pressure on him. Which is, I think, a tough thing to do. But that's what he has to do. He has to go out there and play free.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of pressure on him because the defense in front of him is not going to be great. They're not going to fix that.
Yeah. All right. Now, listen, maybe he's trying to con. Fly fans can't be con. Fly fans can't think they're trending in the right direction right now.
They don't think that.
Yeah.
This isn't like the hot goalie thing back in a generation ago where they just ran into the hot goalie.
They didn't play the full 60. Miles in Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Miles?
What's up? I just put my senses back. I thought y'all was talking about Trump and Congress for a second. Maybe I was wrong.
We're talking about what?
I thought y'all was talking about Trump, talking about putting his hands on women. Is that who y'all was talking about?
No.
Oh, that's what that was.
We're talking about wine.
No, I thought, okay, I'm talking about wine.
the Herrera thing. Oh, you're talking about the Adubo Herrera thing. Oh, I see. You're making it funny. Oh, okay, I got it. I didn't get where you were going with that.
But I was calling about the Sixers. But when I was looking at this draft, this ESPN, Joe, they had a mock draft with the Eagles taking a tight end.
Yes, they.
That makes sense?
Kyle Pitts. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because he's a good player who is more than a tight end. He's a very mobile guy. You can use him in a lot of situations.
I still like the corner.
Surtain.
But yeah, Surtain. Yeah. That's what I wanted to get. But with the Sixers, I think I'm gonna tell you, I was scared. I can't really say that when I seen Embiid come down. But you had to expect some type of injury, even if it's not as serious. Going into the season, I mean, I expected it. I expected something, especially when he was doing so well. I don't know. It's just
me. It's all right. You got a bone bruise. It happens. People get banged up. It's not like, you know.
I think they're going to do better now. I think they're going to be able to pull out at least like three wins without him.
On that road trip?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
We'll see.
At least I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they'll put.
You think they'd beat Milwaukee without him on Wednesday?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
But in that trade with I don't really want the boy from Toronto.
Not unless you
keep and you're gonna say I'm corny about this. I like Thibault.
Okay, a lot of people like him now. He's grown over the last couple of weeks.
I
know. I get it. I wouldn't prefer to lose him, but if I have to make my team better, I got to bite the bullet.
Yeah, but you're only making them better for 1 year.
The 1 year can win a championship.
Or it could not.
I think possibly. All right, man, I'm going to give you your NCAA tournament team. You ready for that?
All right.
All right, you're going to ride this team through the whole tournament now. All right, you got the 5th seed, the Tennessee Vols. That's not a bad squad.
Nah.
Miles and Overbrook. It's Tennessee. I think they're coached by the most overrated coach in basketball history.
What do you mean?
Rick Barnes.
Yeah.
What's he win?
Nothing. He has some squads with Texas.
Quads.
Too.
He gets every damn good job that's out there. He does nothing with it, but he still has to. Well, got hire Rick Barnes.
Yeah. Well. Yes.
Penn State just hired a coach. Tyrone, are you fearing the Nittany Lion in basketball now?
But they got that guy from Purdue, right?
Yeah, he coached with Brad Stevens way back in the day, and also with the Celtics with Brad Stevens before he went back to college.
Yeah, that doesn't prove anything.
You're not feeling it. He's going to build a program.
This is what I think might be a more realistic approach, though. The Purdue way of getting players and develop them, probably more sustainable than the grabbing players from Philly over the long term. So I do like, because I think if Penn State recruits those kind of guys and develops them, and then once you get a few years, you can always one in, one out. One in, they'll stay for a few years. I think that's a better method of getting players. So for that reason, I think it's a good hire in that way.
Okay.
I don't think that trying to grab Philly kids was going to be sustainable over the long term because other people also want those kids. You go out to the Midwest, you can find guys that don't need to play right away, who will sit on the bench, learn your system.
What, the Iowa type of guys?
Yes, and Purdue. Purdue's been doing
and Purdue.
Those, and he's from Purdue. Those kind of guys, yes. I think, is a more sustainable
the
way.
The Wisconsin way?
Yes.
All right, I got you.
That's more sustainable at Penn State than the alternative way.
Okay.
I truly believe that. So for that reason, I think it's probably a decent hire. But we don't know about him yet.
If you're fearing the Nittany's. Rutgers doesn't have enough to fear. Now you got to fear the Nittany's coming your way.
It's going to take a little while longer for that.
Let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, I thought Styles was pretty good on the Grammys last night.
Well, you're about to hear him right after your call, by the way.
All right, that's cool. And obviously, I can't get Michigan, but if you can give me Izzo in the Izzo, I'll take a little.
You know, they're going to win the play-in game, and they're going to win the first round. They're going to beat BYU.
Yep, they probably will. They're well coached.
He hasn't had a good year with that team, but they're starting to play a little better.
Michigan's had a great year, and long may they run this year. I hope they do well.
Yeah, I hope they do too.
I don't care about Illinois one bit. But the thing is, Mike, with the Flyers trending now, I knew Washington was going to be a problem. We need a banger. We need a blue line banger. One defenseman, and Jason hit on it over the weekend, and he knows his hockey pretty damn good. We need a banger. Somebody that'll come in there, and you can plug a defenseman in, and he will go and make a difference.
They got to do something. They're not trending up, are they?
Trending, yeah.
Are they trending up? That's what the coach says. They're trending.
They're also not falling off a cliff. There's still some season left. Their goaltending has.
They start being some good teams, for crying out loud. They'll be good teams.
Buffalo and Nashville both have a defenseman that we could grab. I think we should.
Well, they need to do something.
They do, but I can't bail. Just, and you know what? I haven't heard a lot of Flyers calls, but I can't bail.
I think Flyer fans are a little nervous.
Yeah, they're under an orange blanket hiding.
Yeah, well, they're nervous. They got a right to be nervous. They're not playing well.
We'll beat the Rangers tonight. I'll tell you what, they play pretty damn good from behind. That's obvious.
Yeah, I might like them tonight, actually. I gotta check.
I think I like them tonight. Is Kata hot in the net there? Because I think I like him.
We haven't heard if he's going to play yet. All right, let me give you your team, Ed. All right, here we go. I'm mixing them around so I get a good one for you. Okay, this one is, you got Colorado, the fifth seed, and I've got them getting upset in that first round, Colorado.
I heard you say that earlier.
Georgetown. That's a tough draw for them.
Well, you know what? Go blue.
All right, Ed. Go blue. Yeah, there would be a time that I wouldn't be. You know, the fact that Martelli's there and Juwan Howard's there has softened my attitude towards Michigan.
Yeah. They used to hate them more.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, the Michigan holding sway over Penn State in that conference is just annoying.
Well,
not anymore in football, but basketball they have. All right. For some reason, Penn State has always had more success against Michigan State in basketball than Michigan. Michigan hammers them, no matter what their team is.
That's weird.
Yeah, they play Michigan State well.
Maybe they get more up for that game.
I don't know what it is. It's weird. All right, so last night at the Grammys, we are honoring four winners, one each hour. And this winner, it was the best pop performance. And it was, of course, that cute little Harry Styles. This song is called Watermelon Sugar. Here's Harry Styles.
It's like strawberries on a summer evening, and it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know if I could ever go without.
Ty's not. Ty's not feeling watermelon sugar.
Not me. Natalie.
I don't like this song.
Oh, you don't like this song?
I hate this song.
Really?
I hate it.
Why? Best pop performance, Nat.
It's played out. It's an earworm. Oh. I don't find anything. I don't like it at all.
Oh, righty. She slammed it. Oh, there you go. That's Harry Styles. Watermelon sugar.
Yeah, I think maybe I would have liked it if it wasn't so played out. And I never got what the appeal was about it in the first place, I guess, as to why it was so popular.
He has other songs that
are way better.
That are way better. Yeah. He performed on SNL. He's not talentless or anything.
Oh, no, he's talented. He's got
it's
talent.
Just that particular song, to me, I don't get it. The video, I don't get it. It's just...
Watermelon like, sugar? Come on, man.
And really, and actually, of all the sweet, fruit, the watermelon sugar, you probably want something a little bit with a little more sugar than that.
Yeah.
No, maybe he likes cherry. He makes the low-key sugar. That's what's refreshing about the watermelon.
Then it's not a sugar high. Because he says watermelon sugar high.
Yeah, the high comes from Olivia Wilde. That's where the high comes from.
Probably.
Olivia Wilde tastes a little better.
Before he met the man, when he leaves her, she is going to do some stuff. She's going to cut her hair or she's going to be blonde. I don't think she's prepared for being the person that gets left, Olivia Wilde.
You think he's going to leave her?
Do I think? He's 27 years old.
Well,
he will.
He might have an elder woman syndrome.
Yeah, that for a certain... What happened to Demi Moore?
She might try to go back to her ex.
Yeah, what happened with Demi Moore? It lasted for a while, but eventually Ashton Kutcher went and got his Mila Kunis, and he'll go find his Mila Kunis too, and that's when she's going to be on the other end of it, and she's not going to like what she did to her baby daddy.
We'll have to follow that.
That's what's going to happen. She didn't like. Watch. How many times you think Olivia Wilde's ever been left in her whole life?
Right,
It's about to happen in about 6 months, and then she will do.
This is the reverse flip because Jason Sudeikis wasn't suave enough, and now this young boy is giving her the thrill. Now she's gonna get the medicine.
Then he's gonna get the medicine of that vaccine and be out in them streets with a woman half her age, and then she's not gonna like it.
All right. By the way, Flyers. This is a little shaky tonight. Not only minus 122.
On the road. It's thin.
Very thin.
It's thin, but it is on the road. It's at the Rangers, right?
It is. I don't know if I trust that, man. I might stay away.
It's a stay away.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more of your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, final Twitter poll numbers on the Mike Mastella Show. 5:30. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and his sons. Snow coming your way. Supposed to be this week. Go out and get a snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. You'll love it. They've got parts and full service repair shop also. If your snowblower or any of your outdoor power equipment has seen better days, visit them in person or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie, final numbers.
All righty, Mike. Over 1,200 votes on this one today. The Sixers are playing really well. Are you willing to trade young players and assets to try to win now? 63% say yes. 37% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. Your Flyers tonight. Rangers, boy, they lose this game. This is a must win.
Yeah.
Take the Rangers tonight. You got to get all 2 points tonight.
Yeah, they have to get a win and at least a win and a tie. And then they have to go 1-1 against the Islanders. They need to win. They have to beat the Islanders as well.
They do.
So 3 points from them and then 2 more from the Islanders, and then they right the ship a little bit.
All right, let's see what happens tonight. By the way, that one hit that I told you Rhys Hoskins had today happened to be a home run. It's first of the spring.
Oh, there you go.
So that's good. All right, Bill on a sell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Bill?
Mike, real quick, I wanted to run my Sixers parlay by you from last night. I missed it on one leg. I got a little bit greedier than usual. But real quick before that, I just wanted to ask, seems like you're being pretty tough on Cyborg. Are you anti-Matisse?
No, I like him. He's
I thought you'd appreciate the spark.
He's a serviceable player. He he hasn't been, like, he's playing a lot better now because he's made a couple threes and we're noticing a little bit. He's always makes a defensive impact. It's just not going to be enough for me to, like, he's not going to, like, I keeping him and keeping Maxey doesn't make me any closer to winning the East.
Okay.
I'm looking to do better than that. That's all.
And plus, he's got the mural now. He probably should run from there.
Yeah, I know he's got the mural. And he's got, you know, he's got the endorsement and the whole bit. But it's funny. This is gone now from we didn't want to give up Maxey to we don't want to give up Thibault.
I just want to make sure you're not anti-Matisse.
No, I'm not anti.
But real quick, my parlay last night, I got greedy. I did six legs and I missed on one. I wanted your feedback. I took, they covered the spread, -4.5. I took the total on the points, 223, and even that one got close.
Dude,
and
you're the opposite better than I am.
I know this. I knew that before I called.
Anyway. Go ahead.
Danny Green, 10 points. Danny Green, 3 threes. Tobias Harris, 15. And then the last one I missed on was Ben Simmons, 15. He gave me 14. I mean, would it kill the point guard to give me 15 points last night, or am I crazy?
That's why you can't control that, because he didn't play the fourth quarter. See, that's why the bets like are silly. Now, how much would you have won with that?
10-1 payout. I knew it was a reach, but come on. 10-1.
So with that 10-1, how much do you bet with that?
80 for 800, and I wanted it so bad. I'm still sour about it, Mike.
Well, listen, God bless you. You took a shot. I don't like to throw away 80. All right.
15 points without Joel? Come on.
You're trying to hit six ways, dude. Come on, man. All right, listen. Here's your NCAA tournament game. Okay. You got Virginia Tech, a 10th seed.
Okay.
All right. No, I'm glad to see Bill. Bill's an agreeable Bill guy.
Yeah, I'd be mad if I
had that. Yeah, the Hokies ain't going nowhere. I got to win in first game, though, the Hokes.
Well, there you go. I don't think so.
You know, I got him beating Florida.
Okay, that's not too far
fetched. Yeah, it's just Florida.
I know people who bet that Danny Green over because he's been hot. They got in the first quarter. The over threes they got in the first quarter.
Yeah,
it's 2.5. They bet. I mean, a bunch of people they were tweeting me, texting me the receipts. Mm-hmm. People saw that one coming.
Well. Like I say, I don't do that kind of stuff anymore.
No, you don't do those kind of bets.
It's thrilling, but it's like it's so like you're so invested in hitting all those bets that it just consumes you. I go like I want to bet and not worry about anything anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I can't do the too many bets. Booney does a lot of these parlays too. Booney does; he's the king of the parlay. He's had so many where he's done 10 team parlays.
Where he goes
9-0 going into the last game and loses the last one. It's happened to Booney at least two or three times.
Yeah, that's like playing a wheel on the boardwalk.
Well, he knows the games. He's picking the games.
I know, but it's still like you can't hit that many. Really.
Well, he's been pretty close a lot of times.
Yes.
Yeah, he's shown me he has screenshotted the slip where he'll get 9 out of 10. He's not coming up a little short. He's coming up very close. I mean, he's not getting like 7 right. He's getting 9 right.
Well, listen, God bless you. For me, this is now my readout on the last. These are the last several bets I've made. Michigan, Maryland, bang. Creighton over UConn, bang. Iowa over Wisconsin, bang. Alabama over Tennessee, bang. St. Bonaventure over VCU. That's 5 in a row if you're counting.
That's pretty darn good. You know, I wonder how that Creighton coach responded to losing to Georgetown. Wonder what he said to the players.
You see, that's one I missed. I should have loaded up on that Georgetown.
They smoked that squad. Yeah. And I wonder how he took it after the whole plantation comment.
Yeah, he's embarrassed, that guy.
And he lose to a black coach? Oh, boy. I just wonder how he felt when he went there into the, when it was his heart.
How about Pat coming up big?
Walker,
how about Pat?
I bet you they won't be asking him for a security pass the next time he comes to the guard.
Definitely not.
Pat might be building the dynasty. Yeah, in Georgetown.
You never know how it starts. You're right, Mike. You never know how it starts.
Let's go to Kyrie in Center City. Kyrie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kyrie?
Hey, so I just got a question. With this Kyle Lowry trade, how would our lineup look after the trade?
How would the lineup look? Well, Lowry with Curry, Simmons, Tobias, and Bede.
Okay, and then on the bench, we would have Shake at the line.
Dwight Howard, they'd have to add another piece, and, okay, and maybe Korkmaz. So, okay, like, so they would add another guy to make it a nine-man rotation.
Okay, that, all right. So, like, without that additional piece, then would you say that lineup compared to what we have now with the start with Embiid healthy? Would you say that lineup is, you know, the current lineup now is superior to, you know, a Kyle Lowry lineup?
I think that lineup would be better. Yes, the post trade lineup.
Oh, post trade lineup. Even if we don't add another piece.
Well, they would have to add another piece. They definitely would.
Okay, so then, all right, okay, I got you. All right, and also with the Herrera thing, like, I agree with you. Like, I mean, any normal person with a normal job, it's like their employer found out that they were arrested for domestic abuse. I'm almost certain, like, they lose their job. So,
Herrera. Well, the thing is, you're making your fans make a decision on accepting a guy just because he plays for their hometown team. And that dilutes the fact that the domestic violence situation. So move him somewhere else where there's not that taint. If someone wants to give him another chance, go ahead. I wouldn't, but somebody, but I don't want him in this area to put fans in that spot of having to accept them.
Yeah. I feel you. Like you're saying, like the guy that called in earlier.
Yeah.
He's
hitting 300. I don't care. All right, man. Here we go. You ready for your team? Here's your NCAA tournament team. You ride it for the rest of the tournament. You got 3 seed, Texas.
Okay. All right.
Longhorns, Kyrie.
Shaka Smart.
That's right. All right, man. There you go. That's pretty solid. Texas could maybe do something.
I have Texas in the Final Four.
Well, there you go.
I do have Texas. I truly think Texas is a Final Four
team. They got some talent down there.
Yeah.
What's their road? What do you got with Texas? Where's the road? Texas, they play Abilene Christian in the first round.
Yeah, they're going to win that game.
Yeah, and then they would have to play the winner. They'll get a bop on the second one, too. Uh-huh. It'd be the BYU Michigan State UCLA winner.
They win that game.
And then they have to go, looks like Alabama.
And don't
they
know,
win that one, too.
I think that's what I mean. I like Alabama, but I don't love them. I think Texas beats them as well. And I think they get to the Final Four.
How you feeling about a possible Alabama upset in the first round? Rick Pitino coaching the Iona Gales.
See, I can't rule it out. I got into a back and forth with somebody online. Mike, you can weigh in on this. He's been a college coach for the most part his whole career, other than...
Yeah, the Knicks.
Right,
yeah.
And then the Celtics, the debacle.
Yeah.
Now, he got in some real trouble.
Yes,
I'm not about the recruiting violation. I'm talking about the stuff, the extramarital stuff, the bathroom of the Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And then what he paid the woman to do after the fact and all that kind of stuff. And I think that matters with college kids. In pros, a little bit different. And I was told that I was being too judgmental and nothing better ever come out about you.
No, that does
matter with a college coach, right?
Absolutely right. And Iona, a desperate, you know, listen.
Because he was exiled to Greece.
Exactly.
He was gone.
So they're desperate. They go, he'll take any job at this point.
Mm-hmm.
No, they got nothing to lose, really. But I feel you.
Like, that's why I know people are talking about perhaps him getting an Indiana job. That can't be. First of all, the violations, if you just leave those from what he left behind, they still haven't been finished. He done been gone, banished, come back. And now might get another job before the NCAA even finishes the investigation.
Indiana, another desperate program, though.
Right, but enough. Like, I just think that it does. Morality has to matter with.
It's probably not in this situation. Those desperate powerhouses. Now that he's back being successful coach, somebody big will reach out for him again for a last hurrah.
And if they pull the upset. He definitely get. I bet you they offer him the job in between the first and second game if they upset Alabama,
it'll
like you suggested.
Create a buzz, like a Bobby Knight buzz again, you know. All right, let's take Natalie in Mount Airy. Hello, Natalie.
Hi.
Hi, Nat.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I was calling earlier to say that I would want the guy to pick the bottle of wine, so I agree with that.
There you go. Then, you don't want to have to work on your date. The guy asked you, is he going to put you to work to go over a book of wine?
You asked me out. If you ask me out, then it's your job to figure
exactly.
out all the details.
Now, I'm not going to order for her. Like, that's too, you know,
I'm going to eat that chicken parm and you'll like it because I said so.
She can read the menu and find out what's good. You know, she can, but the why, maybe she's not as well versed.
Exactly. And I wanted to bring up Herrera because, one, I appreciate you just mentioning that, you know, abused victims stay with their abuser. But also, McCutcheon and Harper both had said, like, in interviews that they had talked about it, McCutcheon was a little more easier on Herrera than Harper was.
Yeah, Harper's not not about it.
No, he's not. And I was wondering if Herrera does get on the field, do you think that, like, that'll cause locker room tension?
I think they're not comfortable with it. And they also have to gauge that. Now, baseball players are weird because they're all kind of, you know, questionable. I don't know. I just think it's a bad. I'm not even thinking about the players. I'm thinking about the fans putting them in a position where they're going to accept the guy just because he can hit a double in a gap.
Yeah, well, we're not accepting him either way.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I also didn't know if you had any thoughts on Cole Hamels being a free agent, if you think he would come back to Philly.
Yeah, he's got a rag arm. They have five better pitchers in the rotation.
Okay.
All right, you want your NCAA tournament? Here it is. Here's your NCAA tournament ticket. It is the Cougars of BYU.
I must admit, I don't know anything about college basketball.
They had the two biggest Mormons I've ever seen on Earth, except for Sean Bradley. They got a 7-3 dude.
Okay.
All right, Natalie, you got it. Natalie in Mount Airy gets BYU. 7-3, and the other guy is like 6'11". Big brawny dudes.
Yeah.
All right, take a break. We'll come back. We got sound off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705. Always the same line. It never changes. Leave a message. Nobody will hassle you. Just publish a thought. You may make it to the big show live. Here we go.
If you get Lowry, you win one title, but you traded away all your prospects, so you won't win multiple titles. So do you want one title or multiple titles? If you want to win the title this year and next year and the year after, you cannot get Lowry. But if you only care about one title and you never win it again, all right, I guess Lowry's a good option then.
Yeah, totally misguided thinking. But that's all right. Thanks for playing.
I understand you're saying try and win it all this year, but if we trade those two guys, I seriously got to come back to hurt us in the future. But Chase Thibodeau's defense is just on another level. Tyrese Maxey is a good point guard coming off the bench behind Ben Simmons. I'm just not doing it. Let Danny Green walk after this season and put Chase Thibodeau in the starting lineup and bring Shaden Millen off the bench, Tyrese Maxey off the bench, and you six is going to be good for the next several years.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're going to be good for the next several years. You got a chance to win a championship this year. We're crying out loud. Stop worrying about 3 years down the road. Yeah, you'll figure it out. You find another Max, you find another Thibodeau. That's what the draft is for. They're not untouchables.
As far as that woman who's in love with the roller coaster, if she was to actually branch out to have a human relationship, would it be important that that other individual be tall enough to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah, have to be this high to ride the roller coaster.
Yeah. I doubt a woman who likes a roller coaster is going to want a guy that's like 5'2".
Yeah, no, he'll have to be a guy able to go on the roller coasters because, yeah, you know, she's sure, she's still going to have some sort of attachment to him.
Yeah, she's not going to have that. But then it's almost like you're going to see her ex.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. So you're saying that because the girl would be more daring, like the 5'2" guy wouldn't be in play?
Well, you, yeah, I think she probably, yeah.
Well,
you do have to be tall enough to ride a ride. I don't know what the minimum, like, Natalie's right.
I don't know what is the minimum,
5 foot?
Five two is fine to get on the ride.
It is.
Right? Yeah,
I don't know about the Sky Screamer or whatever
Is that the...
I would think so. I think 5'2" is all right.
She can there say, all right, well, I'll see you when I get back, honey. And she pats him on the head. I feel like that'd be bad.
Howie Roseman. And his staying power. He's won a Super Bowl, but three different head coaches have been fired on his watch. The mysterious bond between Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman. I can't figure out the deal. Does he have some compromising photos of Jeff Lurie or what?
Yeah, that's an old line, that compromising photos thing. It's tired now.
Yeah, how often do people really have compromising photos for real? That never actually happens, right?
No, they don't take the compromising photos. I just think Jeff... He doesn't live like we live. He's in he's different. And so a guy like Howie can explain it to him where he actually thinks Howie's doing a good job. And God bless Howie for that, man. It takes a lot of years to be that kind of a dude.
Philadelphia sports teams, to all owners and general managers, how bad do you want to win? You have to go all in. You're not going to a tea party. Wake up and smell a coffee. Let's start winning again.
You got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. What makes you think all of a sudden that, like, you're not going to be a contender after this year? If you get Kyle, like, I don't understand that mentality. You got the three cornerstone players. You can still be a contender next year and the year after. So you're not going to ruin your squad because you trade away Maxey and Thybulle, with all due respect.
Right. You have three untouchables.
Right. All right. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
All right, that was Sound Off. And thanks, everybody, for participating today. We're going to continue this NCAA tournament elitist poll through till Thursday when they actually start playing. So that'll be fun. Stay tuned because we got Flyers Weekly right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason Martinez leading up to Flyers and Rangers tonight right here on the radio station on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for the warm-up, the Flyers pregame show, Flyers and Rangers postgame show, all that to happen on NBC Sports Philly. Have a great rest of the night, everybody. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.